scratch about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Can you stop humming that? We can listen to a CD. You like Metallica? The Black Album?
No.
Taylor Swift? My wife got me into her.
No.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad Boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I'm telling you, this machine is broken. Ask me a question.
Is Jay-Z really your favorite artist?
Yes, obviously.
Lie.
See, it's busted.
Is it? Or is your favorite artist really Taylor Swift?
No.
Lie.
All right, fine. She is. She makes me feel things.
She makes all of us feel things.
And now.
Oh, I'm going limp. Oh, I'm just going to lie here, moaning, thinking about Taylor Swift. Tay-Tay.
Our feature presentation.
Is it her birthday? Or what's the... Yes. How come? Why are we worshiping?
Because she's 27 today, and she's delightful. And I love her. And I wish her a happy birthday and much success and happiness.
Maybe on your own time.
Yeah. Did you tweet that out or something?
Oh, I did.
Okay. I did. My bad.
And by the way, here's a tip for fellow Swifties, 25% off everything in the Taylor Swift gift shop today.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
25% off. She gives on her birthday.
Wow. And free ground
shipping. For all of the people that listen to this radio station that love Taylor Swift.
So many.
Wow. Yes. Doing my part, man. Just doing my part to share, spread the wealth around.
Right, sure.
So, happy birthday, Taylor.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 13th of December.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Thanks for that input.
Allie, you went to Boston College.
I did.
And you dislike Boston University?
Is there
an intense rivalry between those two schools?
Not really. We don't. Maybe hockey during the Bean Pot.
Mm-hmm. What's the Bean Pot?
What's the Bean Pot? It's only the greatest celebration of collegiate hockey ever. It's Northeastern, Harvard, BU, and BC, and it's a big tournament.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And how is Boston College as a hockey powerhouse?
National champs quite a few times. BU as well. Very good school. Great hockey schools.
Well, Boston University's women's hockey is in the news right now.
Oh.
Because they played an overtime game against Minnesota on Saturday. And it kind of went viral because of the play-by-play. The Terriers, that's the Boston University team.
Yep.
Apparently they were in overtime. Kevin, you'll appreciate this. 3.5 minutes left to play in overtime. There's a face-off in the Minnesota zone. And the play-by-play announcer is a guy whose name is Max Wolpoff. And he is holding it together, considering the intensity, considering everything that's at stake, considering where they are in the game. He's holding it together until Natalie Flynn for the Terriers scores.
Okay.
And he loses his mind.
Back when Tarnowski pushes it for Crossley, and she'll just ring it around the boards trying to kill off a little bit of time. Flynn and Tarnowski working with it. Tarnowski gets it behind the net. Tarnowski lets it for Flynn. Flynn scores! Natalie Flynn! Natalie Flynn! Natalie Flynn! Good morning! Good afternoon! And good night, Minnesota!
That's the best announcing I've ever heard.
You don't hear that coming, do you?
No.
Wow.
Wow.
That's almost better than the streaker.
Yes.
Almost. Or maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, wow.
Natalie Flynn, good morning, good afternoon, good night, Minnesota. But Max is it done.
Natalie Flynn, the captain, with a multi-goal game. I have lost my voice in excitement.
At least he realizes it. This dude is into his hockey club, isn't he?
The Terriers take this one 6-5 in the overtime.
So there you go. That's a congratulations.
Wow.
Boston University Terriers. And then I thought that was awesome. And then I have one more piece of tape because we're running out of shows, we're running out of time, and I don't want to miss this. And I want to thank the listener, whose unfortunately name I don't have with me, who sent this to me a couple of days ago. This is a radio program that I listen to from time to time. It's on Sunday nights on BBC Radio 2 in Britain. And her name is Elaine Page, and she's a very accomplished actress from the stage. And she hosts a show where she plays musicals and you know, songs from musicals and movies and things like that. So this is a great piece of tape because you, just like the hockey call, you don't see this coming. You can't figure out what it is that delighted her so much about a particular name that she says. By the way, this is the show I listen to.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Put on a happy face from Bye Bye Birdie, which featured a book by Michael Stewart, lyrics by Lee Adams, and music by Charles Strauss, who also gave us Annie, of course. And in case you were wondering, that...
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
You don't see it coming.
Number was performed by Dick Van Dyke.
Why is that funny?
Just the way I said it. Who celebrates...
Now, is this an older lady just having the time of her life because she said the name Dick?
Or
that can't be all it is.
Or is she on the sauce?
Well,
right.
I mean, come on.
It I can't figure out any explanation. Look, she must have said the name Dick Van Dyke a thousand times on her show playing musicals, right? So why would it strike her so funny? And she also is not done yet.
Who celebrates his birthday today? Sorry. Happy birthday, Dick.
See, we're not the worst broadcasters in the world.
Oh, yes, we are. Yeah.
Maybe we are. All right, Anderson, it's not. We don't have time for. Right, we were talking about someone else, Anderson.
All right, sorry.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So there you go. There's a lot of great announcing going on around the world. Bringing it all to you here on the Kevin DeBeat Show.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeat Show, shall we?
Good morning!
I love that so much. Today on the program, we are going to talk to Leah Remini about her TV show on A&E called Scientology in the Aftermath.
Wow.
And it's
they
troubling.
Don't get to her first.
No kidding. It is troubling. So we're going to do that today. We have strange holiday traditions. There's a psychic. I don't know if you've heard about this psychic. The psychic can talk to people who've passed on, but it's a recipe psychic. So what this person can do is they can talk to your dead relative and get their good recipes that you love and want.
Finally.
Because maybe they forgot to write them down someplace. And then they can give you the recipe.
You're like, was it a quarter cup?
Right.
Oh,
she can tell you
great.
Quarter cup.
That is very useful, by the way.
That's quite a specific talent, right?
Because a lot of times you don't know that person's going to die and they just haven't gotten around to sharing it.
Right?
Yeah, it's true.
Thank God
this
person
exists.
Because
there's no warning on death. So
right.
See?
I mean, there is probably 90% of the time, but we don't have time for this conversation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A lot of times there's a heads up.
Oh.
Comedian Taylor Williamson will be in the studio. Love him so much. And we have a top 10 as we look back at this year. We have top 10, well, top 15.
Oh, no.
I couldn't narrow it down anymore. I just couldn't. Top 15 Mr. Bad examples.
Yes.
And probably 6 or 7 extra that we're just going to put on the website so people can
like
listen
it.
To. So it's going to be fantastic. We're going to do that in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
By the way, giving away passes to Disneyland Resort on the show today. Got Jimmy Kimmel Live Metallica Block Party concert tickets on the show today. Got advanced screening of Passengers, the movie, with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence on the show today. We are putting the win in winter, is what I'm saying, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
I don't think we're saying that
this
at all.
This is pretty crazy.
No one's saying that.
Really?
Let's not say that.
I thought that was a thing.
Let's make a deal where we don't say that.
Ralph, are we putting the win in winter?
Force is strong with me. I'm one with the force. Force is strong with me. I'm one with the force. Force
is strong. Ralph is staying calm. This is the new calm Ralph. I like it.
The force is strong with me. I'm one with the force.
Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It's my new prayer. It keeps me centered.
Let me give people something.
Oh.
You're up early. You got that thing where you got that stuff in the corner of your eye and the coffee maker's on the fritz. And you got a wedgie.
Wow.
You're sleeping in your underwear.
First
and you got
morning.
All,
is this all the same person?
Up. Yeah, there's
a lot
one
of
guy.
People. Wow.
Clark. Hey, Clark. Sorry, man.
Oh, Clark.
It's a rough start.
You're having a rough day. So let me make things a little better for you since you have to be up this early. How about going to see an advanced screening of Passengers?
Yay! We are putting the win in winter.
Stop saying that.
I'm going to have to ask you to stop saying that.
Okay, good.
All right, good. It worked.
We're on the same page.
Passengers, Jennifer Lawrence, Chris Pratt, Michael Sheen. This movie looks awesome. Spacecraft traveling to a distant colony planet and transporting thousands of people has a malfunction in its sleep chambers. As a result, two smoking hot people are woken up early. And what do they have to do? Got a bone. No choice they have.
It's been a long time.
That's why it's called Passengers.
Is that why it's called Passengers?
I have no idea. It should have been called Assengers.
Right? All right.
Because Jennifer Lawrence's ass is out of this world. See what I did there? I tied it into space exploration.
If you'd like get to your, see... get your guy from Wood Rocket on the phone and pitch him Assengers.
Assengers. If you'd like to go to an advanced screening, we're doing one December 19th at the Pacific Theaters at the Grove. The movie's not in theaters until the 21st, so you'll see it 48 hours before any of your clowny friends do. So why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five people through with that phone number. We've got a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Passengers.
Heaven on Earth.
I don't believe that's what it's
called. I'm not positive that's what it's called.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe that's a subtitle. Last night, Jennifer Lawrence was on Jimmy Kimmel, by the way.
Oh.
She is so unbelievably likable.
Charming, adorable.
Right.
Just, you fall in love with her, you can't help it.
So I emailed Jimmy and I said, can you set me up with her?
Mm.
And Jimmy
how'd that go?
Emailed me back and said, no, but I could probably set you up with Martin Lawrence.
Ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba. That's pretty strong. Yeah. Speaking of love, speaking of being set up, speaking of people you think are going to make it, and then they turn sour and ruin your whole opinion on love.
Wow. Is this Clark again?
No. This is Tarek and Christina El Moussa.
Oh, such a bummer.
Right?
Right?
I'm sorry.
How are Tarek and Marisa and Christina not making it work?
I don't know who we're talking.
Come on, Bean.
I'm sorry.
Bean.
I just...
Everyone knows Tarek and Christina El Moussa.
Come on, Bean.
Kevin, they are stars, of course, of?
The Ohio Zoo. They're pandas, and they need to reproduce.
No,
and they're not interested.
No, Kevin, they're the stars of the wildly popular TV show Flip or Flop.
It's about Flipper? The dolphin is back on TV?
Flip or Flop?
Or Flop.
Flip or Flop.
That's not a thing.
They're a stunningly attractive couple that go around buying homes and then fixing them up and then flipping them on the market for a lot of money. What is it? Was it HGTV, A&E? What network is Flip or Flop on?
I feel like TLC. Maybe TLC.
I'm not positive it's we're able to measure how little I'm interested in this show.
The show is, first of all, awesome.
I'm not sure that's even measurable.
It's awesome.
HGTV.
HGTV.
Right.
Yeah. And Christina's so hot.
And just had another baby.
And I know. That's what makes this all the more heartbreaking. They thought things might be troublesome between the couple last May when neighbors saw Tarek grab a gun and run out the back of their house while his wife was screaming at him, running after him.
Wow.
Yeah. So when the sheriff's deputy showed up and told him, you got to drop your weapon, and they found five more guns inside the home, they thought maybe there was a problem in that relationship.
That sounds like it should be a very special episode.
Oh. Flip, flop, or die.
Now I'm deeply interested in these people and their show.
Yeah, so Tarek and Christina.
What happens to the show when the couple breaks
up? This is my favorite part. The duo say they're committed to co-parenting and the show will continue.
Oh, no.
So there won't be any tension on the set at all, I'm sure.
Wow.
It'll be flip, flop, or F-U this season on HGTV.
It's no Love It or List It. Am I right, people?
That's a good one.
It's so good.
But that's so fake, though. It's like, oh, will they decide to keep the house or are they going to sell it? Not interested.
Well, that's the whole thing.
But
are they going to love it or list it? Who cares?
Those decisions are made well before that decision.
Do you know the decision?
Comes in the show.
No. Not interested.
It smacks of phony to me.
But this thing,
it's real. Derek and Christina really have to, first of all,
stop it.
Get the best deal on the house. Then they have to go through all of the nightmares of the...
and there's always nightmares.
The construction and the renovations.
Yeah, these weeks took all of
them. And then you don't know what they're going to be able to sell it for when they put it back on the
market. Right when they think the house is done, all of a sudden they're like, oh, no, the sewer line.
Or there's a permit issue.
Or there's mold. Enough. We get it, right?
So, I just don't care at all.
Just love Flipper Flop, right? Everybody's with me.
Fixer
not interested.
Fixer Upper blows.
Yeah, Fixer Upper's the worst.
Lame.
Glad we're on the same page there.
Cool.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ted Nugent is 68 years old today.
He loves Ted Nugent.
Yeah, I know. I can't get enough of the Nuge.
Ralph, do me a favor, because this is going to be a long, long day.
Mm-hmm.
Leave out you-know-who.
Don't even.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay, good. You can't.
Wendy Malick is 66 years old today.
You can't leave out the only birthday that matters.
Morris Day is 59.
Go on.
Steve Buscemi celebrates his 59th birthday as well.
And
Jamie Foxx turns 49.
Bless.
Tom DeLonge. Our buddy Tom DeLonge. Angels and Airwaves.
He doesn't realize how much I've lowered his volume.
He sounds like a little a mouse in a box now. 41 years old today. Evanescence singer Amy Lee is 35. And she's the only singer on the list this morning.
Oh, wow. That's interesting, yeah.
If you look again.
How about that? But being of course, right, it is a big, big day.
Thank you.
Today is the 88th birthday of the clip-on tie.
Oh, wow.
The clip-on tie
was exciting.
First sold on this day 88 years ago.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Today, of course, is also the 40th anniversary of the first X-rated home video release.
Okay.
Oh. So that's a happy birthday to my penis for that.
Okay, good.
Right? And, all right, we'll quit playing around. Today also was the day that the alarm clock was invented in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in 1881, right? That alarm clock.
Need it, but hate it.
Boy, has that been a thorn in our side for all these years.
I'm missing a pretty big burst.
I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend, comedian Taylor Williamson, joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show, and then Leah Remini at 8 o'clock this morning talking about escaping from Scientology. She's a very brave woman.
Yeah.
Not only to write that book, but to do this TV series that she's doing right now, and to be out there publicizing both. So
we've had some pretty high-profile run-ins with them. They've complained to our management a lot.
Yeah.
So we know a little bit. But, man, when you start watching this show, you go, I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having Leah on the program. That's coming up. First, though, Allie, something special for you. Not yet.
No, I didn't know if that was...
What's happening?
Who's your favorite person on the whole planet? Allie, your favorite person that you love so much?
Conan O'Brien.
Next to Conan O'Brien, who would you say is the person that is your favorite, like your obsession that you read about and you go
see? Is this part of the game?
And you watch? No, this is a question I think she'll know the answer to.
Okay.
Your favorite celebrity that you adore, that you... read about and watch on TV and go see and want to travel to see and want to be best friends with and can't stop watching.
Fozzie Bear.
That's correct. Adele. We're talking about Adele, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
You certainly love your Adele, am I right?
So sorry.
I think it's going great so far.
I'm out. Adele.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh.
See?
Here's the one thing I know about Allie, and Allie is like me in this regard. When she falls in love with a celebrity, she spends her whole life following that celebrity and just
literally in her car,
learning everything that she can and watching everything and reading everything and really like staying current with what that celebrity is. And I saw a quiz yesterday, Allie, that I thought was so interesting with so much stuff that I didn't know about Adele. And I thought to myself, I wonder if Allie would know this. And that's why we present for you. Does Allie know Adele?
Does Allie know Adele?
Adele.
Does Allie know Adele? She's so swell.
Swell.
Does Allie know Adele? How does she smell?
Smell it.
Does Allie know Adele?
So much stuff I did not know about one of the biggest superstars in the world today, Allie. And you being Adele's number one fan, I thought you would enjoy this quiz as well. And the good news is it's a multiple choice quiz.
Oh, good. Okay.
So I think everything will sound familiar to you, and I think we'll all be impressed. All right. Question number one. In what part of London was Adele born in 1988? Was it Tottenham, Tooting, or Twickenham?
Sure. Obviously, the third one.
No, I'm sorry. That's how it was Tottenham. Tottenham is where Adele was born.
She's a big fan of the Spurs, the soccer team.
Yeah. Well, then maybe you should have got that one.
Yeah, sorry.
She knew. She was just.
Yeah, it was just. I was easing into it.
Right.
Yeah.
What life-saving career did Adele claim she wanted to be when she was growing up? Did she want to be a firefighter, a heart surgeon, or a police detective?
She wanted to be a heart surgeon.
Yes, she did, as a matter of fact. Boy, the world would be different if that were the case, right?
I'd go to her.
Which of these primary colors is also one of Adele's middle names? Now, this is, again, the type of thing I thought I knew a lot about Adele. Which of these colors is also one of her middle names? Red, yellow, or blue?
Blue.
Blue is one of her middle names. And why does she have so many middle names, Allie?
Two of three.
Her parents were like, hey, let's give her a lot of middle names.
Yeah, how's Allie supposed to know?
Come on, man.
I just thought you might.
She knew the name. That's not enough.
What event with her ex-boyfriend inspired her 2008 single Chasing Pavements? He dumped her? She dumped him, or she punched him? Chasing Pavements, Adele's 2008 hit. What inspired it? He dumped her, she dumped him, or she punched him? Even if I
don't know. She's singing the song
in her head now.
Well, you would think he dumped her, but she kept chasing him, so then that doesn't seem like you don't chase someone that dumped you, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, you do if you can't get over it, you do.
I guess so, but I'm going to go with punched him.
That is correct. Yes, she punched him. That's what it started.
She's a bitch.
I mean, no.
Right?
No. Oh.
By the way, if you're just joining us, we're playing our new game. Does Allie know Adele?
A new game? We're going to do it again?
Yes, we are. Adele currently holds the record for the fastest selling album ever in the United Kingdom.
True.
Who held the record previously? Was it Oasis, Blur, or the Beatles?
Oof. I would say, because it makes no sense, Blur.
No, I'm sorry. It actually is Oasis had the previous fastest selling.
Well, good for them.
Adele named her dog Louie when it was caught howling to this famous Lewis's music. Was the dog singing along to Louis Tomlinson, Louis Walsh, or Louis Armstrong?
I would hope Louis Armstrong.
Yes, Armstrong is correct.
Yay.
Which Spice Girl did Adele claim broke her heart?
Ginger.
When she left the group in 1998. Is it Scary, is it Sporty, or is it Baby?
Oh. Scary, Sporty, or Baby?
Those are the choices.
Are you sure?
Yes. Well, that's according to the New Musical Express. I didn't write the quiz, but that's what they...
Allie's disagreeing with the question.
You're saying they're wrong, and you're saying Ginger's the correct answer.
Scary, Sporty, or Baby? Well, I feel like maybe it was Sporty that left. That's what kind of stopped the whole Spice Girls thing, but...
Mm. We're going to need an answer here.
Let's go Sporty, but I still say it's Ginger.
You could be right. I mean, again, this is what NME says. They said it was Baby.
They said Baby.
All right, final question. And does Allie know Adele?
It's 4-3, by the way, so if you get this wrong, it's just a wash.
Got to get it right.
Here we go.
Whose verse from Kanye West's Monster
did Adele rap
in Carpool Karaoke with James Corden in 2016? Whose verse from Kanye West's Monster did Adele rap in Carpool Karaoke? Was it... Boy,
that was awesome.
Your opinion made up, didn't you? Was it Jay-Z?
No.
Nicki Minaj?
Yes.
Or Rick Ross?
No. Nicki Minaj.
Yes, that is correct.
Look at that.
I would say that Allie knows Adele, ladies and gentlemen.
Does Allie know Adele?
About this time every year, we, like most people, look back on the year that was, and in our program, that generally means celebrating failure. That's why we have things like, the top 10 moments with, for instance, that we did a couple of days ago. And I guess we're looking at failure again today, right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, oh yeah.
This is the first year that we started highlighting Mr. Bad Example. Because Bean tries to help. I really think he's trying to help explain things, but every time he gives an example, it's horrible.
Yes.
So this is the top 15. I couldn't even narrow it down.
Come on.
I couldn't even narrow it. It's not possible.
Wow.
Come on.
They're all like the gold. Academy. You had to add extra members, extra nominees to the category.
Here we go.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
He really sucks.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Such a schmuck.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
You'll see what we mean.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
I feel like you're...
You're exaggerating a little bit how bad my examples are.
Oh, do you? Really?
I do.
Do you?
I really
we'll
do.
See. I guess we'll see about that.
I mean, they don't always land, but I'm certainly trying to make whatever we're talking about clearer for the audience.
But I gave you credit for that already. Yes. You're trying, but you're failing. Trying.
All right.
This is the first one.
Because lots of people, there are lots of videos on YouTube of people pulling out their kids' teeth with doors, with cars, with guns, with everything. I think that's kind of an interesting and fun way to go.
I'd like to see the video of the family that's pulling out their kid's tooth with a gun.
With a gun.
Please send me the link to the shooting the tooth out with a gun video.
I'm just saying there are lots of different ways that people are doing it. I thought it was interesting.
Is with the gun one of them?
I'm for sure about the door and the car.
But the gun.
I'm not 100%
on the gun.
You
gave three examples. One of them was a gun.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Didn't you ever see the one where they tied a string to the bullet? And then the other end of the string to the kid's tooth, and then they shoot the bullet?
We were talking to Robert Kirkman, the creator of The Walking Dead, about his beard.
What do you like about having a beard? Is this? Are we hiding a fat face, or what are we doing with the beard?
Oh, absolutely.
Because some people just think, hey, look how cool I look like Abraham Lincoln if I've got a beard. You know, some people think that you know, that's what they're going for.
And I did rock I rocked a chin strap for a long time, way longer than I should have.
Hold, please. Who thinks, hey, I look like Abraham Lincoln?
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Is he not one of the most famous people in the history of the world?
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln? Copying his style sense in the 21st century.
He's a good-looking dude.
Is that why I see all those stovepipe hats going down the street every day? You dumbass.
So you're suggesting...
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I see. All right.
Talking about robot maids.
Didn't realize that's what was happening. I just thought you picked Scarlett Johansson because she's pretty and it'd be fun to have around the house because, you know, you'd rather look at her than Morgan Freeman. But I didn't think it was anything more than that.
Why? You're so dumb.
Weird pull, Gene.
First of all, why would I have Morgan Freeman in my house?
No, but I'm just saying you could have made the robot look like anybody.
I want to have robot Morgan Freeman in my house. He's just sitting around saying, now it's time to get your coffee.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I stand by that one, buddy.
What? Because if you can choose any
option, it's Scarlett Johansson or someone's going to make a robot. Morgan Freeman.
Any celebrity to make a robot out of, then I just pick two different celebrities.
Hey, Bean, this is not Would You Like to Take That Back?
No, I see.
Where you get a choice. This is just us making fun of you.
You're just a bad example.
We were talking about a girl who showed up at a wedding in a white dress and how bad that was. The story is she wore a white dress to a wedding.
I did hear that.
Boom.
I did hear
that. That's it. That's the facts, Jack.
Right. But for all I know, it was a, you know, a patriotic themed wedding, and the girl next to her was wearing red. The girl on the other side was wearing blue.
One of those patriotic themed weddings.
I'm saying there may be another reasonable explanation that has not yet.
Did you say that was a reasonable explanation?
Well, I'm just throwing it out
there. Another one of those patriotic themed weddings.
Just throw it out there as an example of something that.
And another great example too, by the way.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Oh, the flag weddings. I'm so tired of the flag weddings. Where they arrange all the guests in their chairs to make out the old stars and stripes.
Don't know, man.
One week, Allie took Wednesday and Thursday off. Was sick Wednesday and Thursday, but then came back Friday.
Why'd you come back, Allie? You were over the wall.
Oh, I know.
You had your shot. You were free as a bird.
It's like Stockholm Syndrome.
You don't reverse in the tunnel and climb back into the prison.
Right? What the hell?
What's happening?
Not cool. He's Mr. Bad Example.
What the hell?
You're reversing the tunnel.
And go back into the prison.
And climb back into the prison.
It sounds like I lost confidence in that one halfway through.
And you should have.
A lot of ground to cover, I know.
There's love's in the air.
Yeah.
And it's in the sand, and it's in the dirt, it's in a gravel road, it's everywhere on that show.
It's in the back of somebody's swimsuit.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Why in the back of somebody's swimsuit?
Love in the back of somebody's swimsuit.
Why?
I thought we were talking about sand. Weren't we talking about sand?
No!
We're talking about love.
Oh, I must have misheard, sorry.
Yeah. There was a woman who was scamming men, and Bean's theory is that she had a lot of men that she was scamming.
Another theory is just that it was never a relationship, and she's got 100 guys just like this all over the world, and she's probably just scamming, trying to get them to send money or jewels or presents or whatever,
yep,
you know,
jewels.
Like the ladies do.
A lot of times I'm like, hey, will you send me a bauble?
Right, exactly.
I need some jewels.
Yeah. He's Mr. Bad Example.
Send me a loose precious stone, won't you?
Look, I don't remember that specific story, but was this someone pretending to like have a romantic relationship?
Well, because you might ask for jewelry if you're pretending to be somebody's girlfriend.
Jewelry, but no one's asking for jewels. Only pirates go into a chest to find jewels.
All right, we got to be out of time.
Sometimes
here.
I like playing the sexy music where it's inappropriate, but Bean was trying to explain to people, and I think the example he used was pretty poor.
Sometimes Kevin feels like he has to make a non-sexy thing sexy, and this is how he does it.
Sometimes.
Not. What are you talking about, Bean? You don't know anything, man.
We'll be talking about, you know, Allie and I'll be having a serious conversation about chemotherapy or something, and Kevin will be like, ooh, it's gonna make you sexy.
So sexy in your bald head.
That's a terrible example.
It's well, the worst
I'm just saying, stop doing it.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I don't believe I've ever used that during the chemotherapy.
Kevin, you're always breaking out your big chemo chunk when people are trying to have a serious conversation.
I'm not positive why you were doing an impression of Michael McDonald, his birthday or something. I can't remember.
No, because the guy who wrote the smash hit song Sweet Freedom
passed
away.
Gotcha. Rod Temperton.
Rod. And so
take
I
take it easy.
So I launched into my impression of Michael McDonald, who sang that song,
which is almost spot on. So everybody then knows exactly what he sounds like when he sings.
And then it became sort of an epidemic. I lost control of myself.
Minute by minute by minute by minute, I'll keep going on.
He did have one of the weirdest lead voices.
Very strange. Ever. Yeah.
It's like what Fogg would sound like if it could sing.
Mr. Bad Example.
No, that's not bad.
It's what Fogg would sound like if it could sing.
Yes, because I'm going to have to spend some time with that one. I'm not positive that I can work that through.
It's kind of thick and dense and kind of hard to make it through. No?
Okay. He's Mr. Bad Example.
It's hard to make it through his voice. Sometimes I get so stuck in Michael McDonald's voice, I can't even move.
And again, Ralph already did the voice. So now Bean's trying to explain to people what it sounds like for people that didn't, I guess,
which
just
you think, which one was clearer? My spot-on impression of Michael McDonald? Or it's like what Fogg would sound like if it could sing? Which crystallized things at home for people?
All right, we're out of time here, but I have a top five.
Well, no, there can't be more. Come on.
Take a short commercial break and come back with more.
Dare you.
And we will come back with...
Quick reminder, if you're a Metallica fan, they are going to be performing on Jimmy Kimmel Live tomorrow night. And like Jimmy does on the show, he has them play a couple of songs on the TV, but then they play some more for the people who are there in the crowd. And that is an invite only. You cannot buy tickets to see that. But if you're a fan of Metallica like we are, stick around. We'll give you a chance to win those coming up later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
We are doing
He's Mr. Bad Example.
The best of the year. It's hard to narrow it down to 10, so we got to 15.
Does it make you sad to think that we didn't start this feature until this year? So there's thousands of bad examples that never got the due they deserve?
I don't know, though. I feel like you stepped it up this year.
Yeah,
with the bad examples. We were talking about a guy whose heart stopped 40 times during surgery.
The heart stopped and worked again in short periods of 20 to 30 seconds. This is like banging on a light bulb that keeps going off, just trying to get it to go back on.
It's a little more complex than that.
I don't know. It sounds like that's exactly what it is.
We took the heart in our hands and continued massaging it. It just goes on and on 40 times.
Who bangs on a light bulb?
Is that not a thing?
No.
Maybe you unscrew it a little, screw back in, but you don't bang on it, never.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Why is this light not going on?
Guys, I've done that my whole life. Try to make the light work.
Well, you're dumb. We were talking about trick-or-treating and what time is appropriate for you to show up to trick-or-treat. How late can you go?
You don't show up at 10 minutes tonight.
No,
that's
no,
no. Well past the acceptable time.
7:30 is the limit.
7:30. No, for real, though. certainly by 8 o'clock, the kids should be done.
Really?
Because it's supposed to be for little kids.
Right.
It's not supposed to be for teenagers who are out, you know, joyriding.
But these are mid-20s that came in.
Them with all their ding-dong ditchery.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Is joyriding, that's not a thing
no,
either?
No! On Halloween?
Potsy and Richie and Rock Mouth, they always go joyriding down to Arnold's to see what Fonzie's up to.
Bean sometimes likes to somehow give us an example of how quickly Christmas is coming.
We're definitely we're definitely sledding down the hill right now toward Christmas. We can't avoid it.
And Christmas is at the bottom of the hill?
I think so.
Just waiting for us down there.
Why are we at the top of the mountain if Christmas is at the bottom?
I'm not sure. Maybe he didn't think that one through very
well. Really? What a surprise.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Look, I get no points for at least a winter analogy that I tried to make sense for the holiday season. No.
If you're going to do one of those, let me see. What could you have said? Oh, like a snowball rolling downhill? Like that one that everyone uses and knows exactly what it means?
But we're in a sled next to the snowball, Ralph.
Right. Here's the thing. When you say Christmas is coming really quickly, everyone understands that. You don't even need an example.
We don't need a sled or a mountain.
We were doing a game, and the listener...
How many of these are there?
There's three more. You'll be happy to know. We were doing a game, and the listener answered Ralph's question before he was even finished asking it.
She was a...
Miss Marvel.
There you go, Miss Marvel.
Wow. Well done. Damn, Daniel.
No time for our nonsense.
Let's got a train to catch or something.
You are going.
Let's go to Richard in Los Angeles. Hi, Richard.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Richard.
Got a train to catch.
Or something. Just saying, busy man. Got to move on.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Oh, nobody ever has to hurry to catch a train.
He's got a train to catch.
He has to get down to the depot. He's got to get that molasses one still on sale at the general store.
Come on. Do you remember the Scarlett Johansson one that we
Morgan
played
Freeman,
already earlier
sure. with Morgan Freeman? The sex robot talk.
So now we're talking to a guest, and Bean is recreating that and telling the story again with even a worse celebrity.
He adopted a trial and error method in which he encountered obstacles ranging from frequent burnt out electric motors to the robot losing its balance and toppling over. When you look
he
at everything
was
together.
Wearing that out.
When you look at everything together, it was really difficult. He had to teach himself electromechanics and programming along the way and learn how to fit the robot's external skin over its components. Why aren't you guys impressed? Why does it have to be dirty?
Well, that's the reason you're bringing it up.
No, it's not at all.
100% the reason you're bringing it up.
Absolutely not. Yeah. 100%. I would be doing this story if they built a robot that looked like... I don't know why the,
no, go ahead.
I don't know why the first celebrity name of
these are always the best. Go ahead.
Any other celebrity in the world. If he built a robot that looked like Flip Wilson, I would have said the same thing. I don't know why I would have thought of late comedian Flip Wilson.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Wow.
I can't explain that one.
Wow.
And finally, hasn't he been dead like 20 years, Ralph?
Better than that. Better than that.
And finally,
and by the way, when he was alive,
no one
really knew.
Oh my God.
Not a big star. Not a real big star.
Flip Wilson.
That one really hurt you guys.
That one sure hurt.
I'm sorry I said that. I wish I had pulled a better name.
That is the strangest name that anyone has ever said on our show. All right, and finally, number one was the OG. It was the original. This is the one that got us started on Mr. Bad Example.
Because you know that there are people who have bought elaborate crystal sets or whatever and dropped them down an elevator shaft. I don't know why I didn't want those two things
together. Time out. What happened to that guy again?
He bought a very expensive set of crystals.
Crystal,
Ralph.
Right? Then what happened with the crystal?
He dropped it on an elevator shaft and shattered it all.
That happens so often.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
After that one is when we started a file after that. We were like, just let's rack them up.
I've gone through so many crystal sets that way. Why did they leave those elevator shafts wide open?
Sons of bitches. You do good work, Bean. You keep it up.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
What are you going to do when Santa comes by?
I'm going to say what's up.
Great point, young man. Great point. Hey, our friend Taylor Williamson is in the next room. He'll be joining us right after the top of the hour. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Hey, Forbes magazine, as you know, now only puts out lists about how much money people are making. And yesterday they released their list of actors and actresses that are the best investment for movie producers. Vis-a-vis what they are getting paid in salary
these actors give you the biggest return at the box office. So it's you're well worth paying them a ridiculous amount of money because
they deserve it.
With their track record, they almost return big at the box office.
Can I guess?
We got 10. We got the top 10 here.
Denzel Washington.
Now keep this in mind, Kevin. Just goddammit.
Denzel.
Keep in mind, these are actors who have been paid a specific amount of money, but the box office, smash box office return on their films has made them, according to that formula, a seemingly good investment.
I see.
Now,
so it's not just the highest
with that
paid.
In mind, would you like to change your answer?
Meaning that Denzel's a great actor, but Denzel's he's not a lot of blockbusters.
How many blockbusters, how many smash hit films
I would just like to
in?
Withdraw my answer, if that's okay.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I'd like to guess Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
That could be my guess, too.
Hey, Chris, me too, then.
Chris Pratt could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean.
I've heard that.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Is he on the list,
Chris
though?
Pratt is number two.
Oh.
Wow.
He is number two. He will return for a studio $125 for every $1 that he's paid.
Wow.
That's
he's not getting paid
enough.
He needs to up the
he
payment.
He needs a better
that's
agent.
That's pretty good, right? It's pretty good.
How about Flip Wilson? Good guess.
Oddly, still not relevant, even in this conversation.
All right, so somebody that they pay and you go see is... How about...
we understand how movies work.
No, I'll just say Robert Downey Jr. just that because everything he's in is it makes $1 billion.
RDJ, number eight. He returns $18.40 for each dollar that you pay him. He had that judge, by the way. The judge this year with Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
I think that was that pulled down his average.
I love that movie.
Didn't make any goddamn money.
Of course
money.
You did.
It was great.
Make no goddamn money. Okay, we got eight and two. More.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, she is tied at the bottom of the list with Matt Damon.
Huh.
Oh.
They each return $17.70 on $1 of salary. That's their return to the producers.
Ben Motherlovin' Affleck.
Ben Affleck is seventh on the list. $20.10 for each dollar he gets paid.
I'd pay quadruple that.
Would you?
For some Ben.
Hugo.
Porcupine.
Weaving. I'm sorry, I was confused. Hugo Porcupine Weaving?
Mm-hmm.
Is that who he's going by these days?
Yeah.
No, he's not on the list. You're going to be shocked at some of these names, I'm telling you, right now.
I think we give up, Ralph.
Okay.
Fan Bing Bing.
No, Fan Bing Bing's not on there. Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Is number five on the list. $32 for every dollar he gets paid. That's what he gets back for the producers. Jennifer Aniston is sixth on the list.
I would have thought she was the opposite.
I
she got paid
too.
A ton of money, and her movies don't make much.
Right?
Huh.
$27.80 for every buck they pay her. That's what she gets back for the studio.
Huh.
Ralph, you said Vin Diesel. That made me think of The Rock.
Not on the list.
Okay. You sounded confident, though.
Well, because
I like
he has lots of big hit movies.
You're right.
But no, all right.
Number four, my head exploded when I saw this. Mila Kunis.
Is that right?
I'm guessing they paid her so little for Bad Moms.
That Bad Moms movie did
and it made so much money that it just shot her average right through the roof.
Interesting.
She returns about $50 to the producers for every dollar she was paid.
Wow.
Scarlett Johansson. She returns $88.60 for each dollar she gets paid. And they got that robot. It looks like Morgan Freeman right next to her.
Sure.
And number one, the biggest returning investment in terms of movie stars this year.
Dick Van Dyke.
No. It wasn't. No. It was
Steve.
No, it was not Steve. It was Chris Evans. Captain America himself, Chris Evans. For every dollar he gets paid, $135.80 goes back to the producers.
Wow.
So he is well worth the investment.
Hmm.
Here's the thing about people. I'm going to give you a teach a little lesson about people.
Okay.
Right? Some people like to get engaged very publicly. They like to make a big deal out of it. They like a big look at me moment so they can have a memorable proposal, if you will. It's happened to me. Kevin Smith and I, we must have had, over the past years we've done Hollywood Babylon, we get so many requests of people come up on stage and propose in front of an audience.
And what do you think that's about?
I'm not quite sure.
I think it's about making it memorable.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be memorable when someone asks you to marry you anyway for the rest of
your life? Best case scenario, but worse, it's just look at me.
It's just a big attention grab?
Yeah.
Anyway, Coldplay frontman Chris Martin is a good guy, and he got word from someone in the audience that that he wanted to bring his girlfriend up on stage during the band's concert over the weekend in Melbourne, Australia, and propose. And so Chris, being a romantic son of a gun, allowed it to happen. But chaos ensued.
Oh, really?
When he brought the guy up on stage and then brought the wrong woman out of the audience up on stage to be with him. Here's a little audio of that moment.
Come on. Let's do it. Let's get married up in here. And then we're going to dance again. Yeah, how you doing? All right, let's go. Yeah. Okay. Keep it snappy, my brother, because people have got to catch trains and okay. All right, just do it. Do your thing. You got 20 minutes. Okay. What? Oh, you're not getting, you're not the person who's proposing. What the f*** are you doing here? Okay. Well, thanks for coming anyway.
He pulled the wrong woman on stage, so and then he went after her. What are you doing up here then if you're not the right woman?
Yeah, hey, Bean.
Yeah, I saw. I heard.
Did you notice?
It's okay when Chris Martin says people have to catch trains. Nobody makes fun of him for that. When I say it, I end up a Mr. Bad Example.
Because
there's a tube.
Yes, in Melbourne, yeah. The public transportation is the main way of getting back and forth from the venue.
Yeah.
Right. So we don't live
there,
Bean.
They didn't want the concert to go late because the train stopped running at a certain point.
Right.
Yes.
Saying he made a lot of sense.
But we don't live in Melbourne, Australia.
Right.
Or London, or one of those places where trains are the main form of public transportation.
Correct.
All right. Hey, did the stranger say yes when the guy proposed?
No, she did not.
Oh,
she went back to her seat, and then they got the right woman up there, and then the proposal went through, and everybody was happy. But I thought that was cute. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ted Nugent is 68 years old today. Wendy Malick, I love her. Very talented, funny lady. She's 66. Morris Day! Morris Day, the mother-loving time, yo. Jesse! Now Jerome!
Now Jerome!
Oh, wee, oh, wee, oh.
Remember last time we played that on the air?
We got nothing. I got nothing. No love. No Mars Day love.
Oh, with all the cursing in it?
Yes. Fix that.
Yeah, we'll fix that. We'll get it.
All right. Steve Buscemi is 59 years old today. Jamie Foxx turns 49. Tom DeLonge, our old friend, is 41. Amy Lee, Evanescence singer Amy Lee, turns 35 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. That is Linkin Park, My December. They recorded that for Kevin and Bean Christmas CD, which is very cool of them.
I think about that. That happened so many times to us over the years that we were putting those annual holiday albums out because we'd go to a band we liked or played, like Blink-182, for instance, a perfect example. Mark Hoppus mentioned this from the stage Saturday night at the Forum. And we'd say, hey, guys, we're doing a Christmas album. Would you do a song for us? Boom! I Won't Be Home for Christmas exists now. Boom, Linkin Park comes back to us with My December, and we're like, guys, this is really good. You did this for us? So anyway, it's kind of cool to hear that again. Speaking of December, it has been 1 year since our last guest was in studio, and I think we are all poorer for it. Please welcome back our good friend Taylor Williamson on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Taylor!
Hi, guys. That was a compliment, right?
Yes, it was a compliment. We missed you.
Yes.
It's tough to tell with Bean, but yes, that was.
Because the wording and the tone sounded negative. But I
not at all. No, Taylor. I'm saying we love you and we have missed you, and I can't believe we let almost all of 2016 go by without you. How have you been, my friend?
I've been very well. Thank you so much. It's so nice to be back here on your program. I got recognized in Santa Monica last 2 weeks ago, and then this lady is like, I saw you on Kevin and Bean's show. I listened to you on Kevin and Bean's show. I was like, that's so cool. I'm doing a show right here and across the street, like my finger points, you see it. Yeah. And she's like, okay, have a great night. I was like, that's so cool.
They're like, you can't even just stop in for a little bit?
It's like over here. Yeah.
Oh, okay, no.
So, Taylor, is it true you're a Scientologist now?
You know, I don't talk about my religious beliefs, you know, but this helps.
I know that it's about you. You go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere, and then you sign a huge check, and if you don't, they'll kill you.
I have heard that's true. Dave told us when you found out that Leah Remini was going to be on the show with us next hour that you, not too long ago, took the Scientology personality test, and I've never done that, and I've always wondered what that's like.
Oh, it's fun, you know. I'm level 7 now.
Is that right?
It's right before King Koopa is level 7.
Positive, those are actual names.
Is my career over? By the way, I feel like I should just say right now, I'm Eddie Ift. I'm not Taylor Wilson.
I see, okay.
Story.
So you're afraid of the church like everybody else.
No, I'm a big fan. I support everyone's. I'm not successful enough to share how I feel about anything.
I see, okay.
So,
tell us about the personality quiz.
So I was with a pretty lady, you know, and so I'm with a couple right now in this room. And there's many in the
a couple?
World. 20. Yeah. I mean, Kevin, you're sexy. And,
thank you.
And then
just wanted to be acknowledged.
I'm very attracted to you. And thank then, you. Why do people think I'm gay? I don't know. And then, it's very confusing. But I was a pretty lady, you know? And then she's like, hey, let's go to the Scientology Center.
And now, was she a Scientologist?
No.
Okay, so she just thought, let's find out what it is?
She's like Psy-curious, I suppose.
Right? You are stupid.
You guys, I just came up with
it's
that.
Psy-curious is awesome.
I really like it.
Are you kidding me?
That's pretty good.
Thank
no, you,
you
got to trademark that or something. That's great, Taylor.
I will murder anybody who steals.
I'm not positive that that's the way to do it.
All right, so you walk
I
in.
I can't afford a cover.
And what is the – forgive me for – it's been so long since I read anything about this. What's the point of the personality test is to tell you what? What are you supposed to know about yourself when you walk away from that?
I just knew it would impress, make this girl happy.
Sure.
What kind of questions did they ask you?
I don't remember the exact questions. I don't want to misquote, but there are questions that are very, like, yes, how do you feel about this, strongly or not strongly?
Oh, I see. Okay.
And it was like, do you
like men? Was that one of the questions? I only say that because you just referenced that up.
I think it's a wonderful thing to like men,
right?
And I wish people well.
Taylor has no opinions on anyone for anything.
one of the questions was like, do you bite your pencil when you're nervous?
Really?
Yeah.
Or bite your, I wonder what that, what they're trying to get by that.
The test, it says, I mean, there's all these like fun, they're all from different countries. It's kind of fun. Like, and then the people that work there, like a charming Italian man.
Right.
And then he's like, I asked a question, what does this mean? He's like, I don't really know. We're just to answer it to your best.
Really?
Answer to the best of your knowledge, you know? And then, I did that, you know?
I would assume that that test is supposed to show you that you need some help, which, oh, they could give to you.
Yeah, it's a recruitment tool,
I would
for
assume
sure.
That's what it was.
Well, I wouldn't know if that is the case, but I do know that, after I took the test, they're like, hey, guess what? You would qualify.
Oh, what a surprise. And then when you left, was somebody holding onto your leg as you were dragging them out the door?
You know what's funny? So I took the test, and then they offered me another test afterwards. Like, I thought I was just gonna walk in and
ooh,
be like,
"You got to the second test."
I thought it was just gonna be like, "Hey, let's take a look around. That's fun. Hey, nice to meet you guys. You know, do you want to email? No, I'm good, but thank you. Have a great day." But then they're like, "Do you want to take a test?" She's like, "Yeah," and I'm like, "Okay,
okay, she's hot. All right, I'm in."
You know, and then
that's a weird date to go on, Taylor.
Hey, you know, some people, they go to McDonald's. Some people go to Scientology.
Sure.
Yeah, right. I love both those things.
You know?
By the way, I should mention, Taylor Williamson is here on the Kevin Amin Show. He is going to be in town doing some of his hilarious stand-up comedy at the Levity Live, which is very conveniently located for many of our listeners in Oxnard. So you want to go see that on Sunday at 8 p.m. Tickets are available right now through Taylor's website at taylorwilliamson.com. What? I grew up in Westlake, and I listened, so it's not far. Okay. Oxnard, right. Beautiful 805. Big ups to all my peeps out there.
Shout out.
I want people to go. I'm not coming down on it. I'm just all right. saying. I'm just sticking up for Oxnard, yo.
Hey,
Levity
you.
Live in Oxnard this Sunday, 8 p.m., taylorwilliamson.com to get your tickets. Is it true, Taylor, that you have multiple television programs in development right now?
It is true. Wait, who told you this?
You know, you're a
the
famous
internet?
Person. You're a famous person. That
there's something called the internet, and you could like type in
about.
People's names.
I'm in this cool zone where I have a lot of things that are almost things but aren't things yet. So
right.
It's like it's really sexy.
So you don't want to talk about those
it's
ever.
Really
it's really sexy.
Sexy.
Okay.
You know? It's just like he could have a thing, or maybe not. Maybe it'll go to garbage like last year. You know? It's like, who knows? It's spicy. I keep
things
spicy.
But there's more than one. There's more than one spicy thing.
Well, I have a thing. I have a goofy, cool, fun travel show. I have
a travel show,
and I developed it with the really wonderful people who created Deadliest Catch and Storage Wars and Ice Road Truckers and all that stuff. You
okay.
know? And
I know that. Was it a TV special you did where you went to Japan?
I did that. That was
and that was awesome. And is that kind of where the idea came from? Hey, it'd be fun to go see other countries around the world too?
The idea came more from, you know, like, I haven't been on TV in a while, and I need to
okay.
get on TV really soon, or my career is going to fall apart, and I'm going to be
that's
like...
That's a much more depressing answer than we were hoping for.
You know? But, you know, no, for real, like, I had so much fun. I got to go to Japan. I filmed a thing for Japanese television, and...
Which was great.
Oh, it was great, yeah.
Yes, it's so nice.
All right, so travel show is one thing. Have you filmed some of that already?
Yeah, we filmed. We have a – this is so L.A., like, but we have a pilot offer from a really cool channel.
All
and
right.
And there's contracts being negotiated.
Oh, that sounds serious.
So it's
all
very
right.
close.
So very close to a pilot thingy.
Would you go to North Korea, Taylor?
You know what? It's funny, the conversations we've had in this thing, like, it's like I do go on crazy experiences with my fans, you know? The gist of the show is I've been traveling all over the country for 12, 13 years, but I don't do anything. I see hotel rooms. I'm a piece of garbage, you know?
Yeah, you don't actually get to see the cities you're in.
How can I say I'm a piece of garbage? You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I did just skip over
to garbage. That was odd.
And then they're going to some of my fans seem on adventures I've never done before. So it's like, would you go in a shark tank, a shark cage?
That'd I'm be
like,
awesome.
In real life, no way. But for TV, I'm a whore. Yeah.
If you pay Taylor, he'll do almost anything.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un, what's up? I respect you. And Kim Jong-un's listening. I'm a big fan.
Right. Sure. Okay. Taylor's a big fan of everyone.
Vladimir Putin, you know, what's up?
Best,
you know?
Right?
I think my grandpa was like part Russian or something.
Sure.
You know?
Big ups okay. to Satan.
Right. Respect, you know.
We got to take a break, Taylor. Levity Live in Oxnard this Sunday at 8 p.m. Tickets available only $15. TaylorWilliamson.com. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
Hey!
Nope, not even a little bit.
I don't think that's even the song for
it. I like that. Taylor Williamson in studio with us. Back on the Kevin DeBean Show here on K-Rock. TaylorWilliamson.com on Twitter at Taylor Comedy. You can see him this Sunday night at Levity Live in Oxnard, and you should. It was a couple of years ago you played April Foolishness for us also, wasn't it, Taylor?
Oh, it was a great time.
Yeah, it was so fun, so fun. Gotta do that again sometime.
Hey, listen, I'm really busy, but I never know.
We haven't even told you what day it's on yet.
No, yeah,
but Taylor's got that thing that weekend. You know that.
Oh, right.
Speaking of your shows, I love the stories that you've told us in the past about famous people that have sometimes come to see you. But is it true that recently your grandma came out to see the show? And if so, was that a first time for her?
She's been a couple of times. The good thing about my grandma, she doesn't live in L.A., so I can talk about her freely.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, good.
And it would be too late, even if someone in my family wanted to sabotage me, which I don't trust any of them, but they're all out to get me. Please help me. But they couldn't even play it for her because to get her to listen to the clip, it would be too complicated. So I can freely say it.
So when she comes to
me, I talk so much trash.
When she comes to be in your audience, does that make you nervous about and do you rethink every joke that you're going to do?
It's horrible because every joke I say, like, I say silly things. I'm not mean-spirited. I love my family and I love my grandma.
You love everyone.
I love everybody. But I love – thank you for your support, everybody. I can't wait.
You're the most vanilla person ever.
Thank you so much.
Donald Trump will be very happy with you.
As a Jewish man, I'm very excited about everything that's happening, and I can't wait to wear a yellow star again. And then,
I'm sorry about your grandma.
My grandma, should I say these silly things? Then everything is taken the worst way possible, you know? And like, I talk about my grandma being racist, but listen, I'm like, grandma's the other grandma, you know? And then the other grandma comes, grandma, talk about the other grandma. But it's funny because they don't know they're both racist.
Right.
You know? But they do know. But everything is a horrible thing. Like, I'm Jewish and I'm proud Jewish, and I tell a joke about, you know, make fun of the stereotype that Jewish people might be thrifty with their money, you know?
Their shekels, mm-hmm. right?
Shekels. You know? And then she gets extremely upset with me.
Is that right?
Taylor. And and the show actually went well somehow. Like, I couldn't even deal with it. Like, I still get from my family. I was runner-up in America's Got Talent. I'm very talented. And 12 years later, I get, so you're still doing that comedy thing? Thanksgiving dinner. Twice at Thanksgiving.
So it's sort of a given in their mind that at some point you're going to have to give that up and move on?
They just remind me all the time.
That hurts.
It's very hard, Taylor. It's
but
very
you have
hard
an
business.
Actual career and fans and an audience and a schedule. I mean, what is it going to take? Are you going to need to be on whatever TV show they watch for them to consider that you've made it?
The first time I was on TV, I was 20 years old. I did The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. I tell my grandma, guess what? I'm on television doing what I love on the national television. And she goes, what time? And I'm like, the show starts at 12:30. I go on at 1:30. She's like, 1:30, don't people have work in the morning? Who stays up that late?
Thanks for all the support, grandma.
You know, I think you're missing the point. I'm on TV.
I remember a few years ago, I headlined you do like these little indie shows. And so in Las Vegas, I did like a little show at a thrift store. I headlined a show in a thrift store. I'm very famous. And then I told my grandma, I knew I was going to get something negative out of her. So it was exciting. I'm like, grandma, your grandson's headlining in Las Vegas. Are you proud of me? And she lives in Las Vegas. And she's like, how much are tickets? I said, $12. She's like, $12. Raymond gets $80. She calls him Raymond. That's Ray, sure. Ray Romano, you know? I'm like, thank you. But she's not joking. She's not even like razzing me. She's like,
that's just her.
So the Jewish thing, I said, so I made a joke about Jewish people being cheap with money. And then she's like, after everything, the only thing she says, you shouldn't say Jews are tight with their money. That's not nice. You shouldn't say that. It's anti-Semitic. You're anti-Semitic. I'm like, what the grandma? Okay, Grandma Goldberg. And, then, and I'm like, Grandma, didn't you say that you would not come to my show unless I got you free passes? And she's like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's not, I think she's a Scientologist, actually, which is a wonderful thing.
I right. It's all
yes,
great.
That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. We don't have much time, but I do have to ask because I do notice that you have, as many Americans have not been afraid to speak out over the events of the national politics scene in the last few weeks. And I'm wondering, do you get a lot of terrible feedback as a public person who speaks a political opinion online?
I mean, you know, just like once a day someone suggests I end my life.
That's average.
And then, but it's I get the consistent people calling me gay a lot. This is a bit more aggressively if I make fun of Donald Trump.
Oh,
but,
is that right?
But I got it before too, though. So it's not just, it's.
I feel like every at mention you would look at and get depressed or really take it seriously. Like maybe you should stay away from that.
You know, it's.
Because you're a nice guy. And
I get mean emails. You know what's odd to me is I get, like, most people think they get their anonymous hate on, like, YouTube, though. I get plenty of that. I have some fun stuff in there. But I get most of my hate is on Facebook.
Is that right?
Where it's like, here's my name. Here's what I do for a living. Here's where I work. It's
so
my
they
face.
Own it.
And then and they don't start off the hatred with this information, but the information is there, you know?
Wow.
And then my favorite, I had a lady just message me very recently, and she wrote me to tell me that she hates me, and
that's nice.
I'm not funny. But she doesn't know that she wrote me 3 years before to tell me how much she loves me.
Is that right? She forgot that?
It's very quick.
Did you send it back to her?
I wrote the longest. I don't write back to stuff, but I wrote the longest like email to make her feel bad ever. But it's very.
You could use your time, Taylor.
Listen. This is what you do. You work 10 minutes a night as a comedian,
right?
You know?
Rest of the time in your hotel.
You have to wake up once a year to be on the radio.
All right. So it is going well for you. It sounds like.
So this is very quick. So here's the first email. Very short emails. The first one from December 2013. Hi, Taylor. We saw you this evening at McCurdy's, a comedy club in Sarasota. you were great. My son was born and raised in Sarasota, lives in L.A. He was just in a Little Caesars commercial. Check it out on YouTube. here's what it's called. He's also a comedy writer in L.A., just FYI. Okay, next message. November 26, 2016. You are not funny. I saw you at the comedy club in Sarasota. You were rude, boring as well. It's like a cartoon.
Did she?
I think we lost a fan.
Did she? Did you send both of those to her or her original one?
So it's just like it shows up one after the other. So I wrote back the. I couldn't read to you what I wrote back. It's the longest.
It's a paragraph.
I wrote a whole.
Taylor.
But the most like I wrote a very like. This is the gist of it. Is hi Susan, thank you for the nice message from 3 years ago. Tell me how much fun you had on my show. It means so much to me that my fans, whatever. And what a blessing it is that people go out of their way to write me, to come to my show. Not only come to my show, but then buy a ticket, come see me. And then the next one is, sometimes, believe it or not, I get the most completely random message from Nupples writing me just to say mean, horrible things. I know. Can you imagine? And by the way, there's always a guaranteed 100% at least one spelling or grammatical error. And then I mentioned, get this, most of my negative messages are always from 12-year-olds with nothing better to do. But sometimes they're from nasty messages from adults with grown children who should know better than to act like a goblin. I know. And then I wrote a whole thing, and thanks for being a Taylor. I signed you up for my mailing list to get daily messages. And P.S., I can't wait to watch your son's Little Caesars commercial.
I think you handled that one all right.
You guys, I'm a very healthy person.
He won't say a negative thing about anyone except for this person, this
He'll
woman.
Come after that lady from Florida, though, right?
Wow.
He's going to take her on.
Listen.
All right, Taylor. Well, listen.
Oh, you guys, I have to get going. I'm really sorry.
Okay.
We were just actually going to ask you to leave, Taylor, so you don't have to.
Because we have others.
Because we're out of time. Yeah, we're very busy, too.
Can I say something really quick, though?
Sure.
I appreciate you guys a lot. Can I say that first? And second, I'm in Brea at the Improv on January 20th to 22nd. But Levity Live in Oxnard. And I do a 13-up show if you want to bring your kids. If you're a horrible parent, please bring your kid.
Why are you talking so softly?
I'm really a million.
Taylor's got a lot of feelings, you guys.
You guys, I'm very passionate, and I support.
Everybody, I'm doing some comedy.
I just want to say, if anyone, I support Scientology and sure. Scientology.
Yes, we've heard.
And I love Leah Remini, too.
Sure.
On Twitter, at Taylor Comedy.
You just can't do both.
TaylorWilliamson.com. Buy the tickets. Go see the shows. Thanks for coming in, man. Good to see you.
I love you guys. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. By the way, on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show, about 8 a.m., the return of Santa Carl.
Very exciting.
really is one of the most fun things we get to do all year. Santa Carl will be here to talk to your little boy or girl. That'll be tomorrow morning, just about this time here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, we got a lot of press releases here at the Kevin and Bean Show with people that are being pitched as potential guests. And this one really this caught our attention because I didn't know that this was a thing, but it is. It's called the Clairvoyant Gourmet. You ever heard those words put together, you guys?
No.
This is a woman who was being pitched to us who can contact dead relatives on the other side in case you want to know what their recipes were for things that they used to make when they were alive.
So not are you happy or what right. should I have done, but what's the recipe for cake?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you wish you knew how to make your grandmother's famous pecan pie? You ever wonder where your uncle's secret ingredient in his honey glazed ham was?
Oh, you don't want to know that.
That one concerns me a lot. So we couldn't get a hold of Clairvoyant Gourmet, but apparently this is an actual cottage industry in America now where people are doing that. So we have two things happening here. One is we invite your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 right now. If you are in this situation where there's a relative who's passed on and you want a recipe, we can help you out because, ladies and gentlemen, the recipe psychic has joined us in the studio right now. Miles St. Clair is here on the Kevin Mitchell. Hey, Mr. St. Clair, how are you, sir?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me.
So you are not related to the recipe. You are the recipe psychic. You are
I'm
not
the
related
recipe psychic,
to the Clairvoyant
yes.
Gourmet, though.
No, Janie is, I have nothing but the utmost respect for her, but she's a fraud.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, she can't really do what she's claiming to do.
No, I have been contacting the other side regarding food recipes and for many, many years and with great success. And Janie is, I believe she is trying to usurp my position in the psychic community. She is a medium, but I am an extra large.
It's a surprise to me that there's one person that can talk to people who have passed on and get a recipe, let alone two.
Well, there was one at one point, and now there are two.
I see.
But
she's a fraud.
So you're the OG.
Well, listen, I believe there's, I'm just here to help. And
okay.
And if Janie's helping people, then I think that's all that matters. But in terms of success rate,
right.
in terms of achieving contact with the other side and actually getting recipes for people, I think in that small subset,
that's a very, very, very small, specific talent.
It's a group of two.
I've dominated the industry for
right.
many, many years.
I would love to hear some stuff.
You can always go to recipepsychicmilesstclair.com. I'll do readings on the phone. I can do readings via text.
That's interesting.
So, Miles, go there, and I'm happy to help, especially around this time. It's this time of the holiday season. A lot of people have a lot of questions, like making jambalaya. How many hot peppers do I need?
Can't they just get a recipe book or look it up on the internet?
Well, not if you want to recreate something that Meemaw made.
Oh, something special for your family. All right, we're going to go to some calls here, but ahead of that, because we're taking calls at 1-800-520-1067. If there's a recipe that you've lost someone in your family, now's your chance to get it back with the recipe psychic. What kinds of information are you going to need from the callers? What should
Nothing.
They be prepared to
I don't
to
want
tell?
Anyone to ever suspect that this is something that's not real.
You just feel it in their voice?
I will talk to the person, and then I will be contacted from the other side by a relative.
Okay.
And I will be able to give them the recipe or details about the recipe so that their holidays can be merry and bright.
All right. Well, let's go to Mission Hills on line one. This is going to be Garrett. He's first one through. He has a question for the recipe psychic, Miles St. Clair. Garrett, thank you for calling. You're on the air, sir.
Miles, I can't believe I get to talk to you in person
like this. Thank you, Garrett. I appreciate it.
You've been following Miles, have you?
I've followed him for years.
All right.
It's the greatest experience ever.
Thank you, Garrett.
My grandfather passed away recently.
Yes, he did. You're right.
Yeah, he was a big vodka drinker, and he used to make vodka on the rocks, and I'd love to know how he made it.
Yes. Let me give you – hold on a second. I'm getting a strong grandfather hit.
Is that Garrett's grandpa we're hearing right now?
I'm afraid to say, but I believe that your grandfather's name, if I'm not correct, I'm getting a D. Grandfather's name is D. Dennis, D. Dan, D. D. David, D.
Is D ringing a bell, Garrett?
Garrett, is there a D in your grandfather's name? I'm getting a strong D.
Yeah, his middle name was Dale.
Dale. That's
okay. All right, there it is.
So I'm getting the vodka recipe rocks. Yes, there's ice, there's vodka. Oh, his special ingredient was kumquats.
What?
Kumquats.
Kumquats. In a vodka cocktail?
Well, just the essence, just the zest. What you do is you take a cheese grater, and you just get the zest of the kumquat from the outside of it, and then just a touch.
Sounds terrible.
Okay. I gotta be honest.
Enjoy all that, right. Garrett.
Thank you for the call.
Merry holidays.
Let's try Daniela Southgate, line three, Daniela. Please. She has a very specific reason for calling you today, the recipe segment.
Daniela.
Hi, I'm calling because I'm pregnant and I've been craving my grandma's tamales.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are pregnant. I'm getting a strong pregnancy.
Well, she just told you. She's aware that she's pregnant.
Grandma's tamales. Now, I'm getting a sense. I'm just trying to pick up the vibration from the other side. I'm getting some sort of... Is it a Latina and Hispanic vibe I'm feeling? Something that your family is somehow Hispanic or Latino? Yes, thank you.
Grandma's tamales.
She said grandma's tamales.
In the tamales, the special flavoring was, and this is going to be hard to get, possum.
What? Really?
Yes.
In a tamale?
Yes.
Wow, are you sure about that?
I could never been more sure about anything in my life, Daniela. So here's the thing.
Where she got the possum?
That's the problem. Possum is hard to come by these days. I suggest, I don't know, get a trap.
Maybe in the backyard
we could just get a little, put some peanut butter on a Ritz and just put it inside one of those live traps and just get yourself some possum. And then, again, just a touch, just the sous-son of the possum.
That's a lot of work for a pregnant lady, I'll tell you.
Well, listen, baby needs what baby wants.
All right, Daniela, thank you for calling. He is the recipe psychic, ladies and gentlemen. Miles St. Clair, thank you for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
Little unsteady.
That's over 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55. Maybe in the new year we can get a clock.
No.
You know, like and it counts down.
You can tell when the songs are
right,
over?
Right, that'd be cool.
Look, either get a sense.
What, huh?
Or someone next to you.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry, Chip.
Either get a sense of when these things end or get out of the business, man. That's how it works.
I feel like I do a pretty good job.
Yeah. Hey, guys. The show is called Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath. It airs Tuesdays at 10 on A&E. It's an 8-episode series. And Leah Remini is a very brave woman. I guess we'll tell her this when we have her on. In about 10 minutes, she'll be on discussing the program and her life since Scientology. That's coming up on K-Rock. I know, Ralph, you're very excited about this.
Fascinating subject and brilliantly executed, and she is a brave lady. And Mike Rinder, her co-star and a sort of consultant on the show, was one of the higher-ups in Scientology in the church for many, many years.
He's the international spokesman or something like that. Yeah.
And you hear his story and the story of Amy Scobie, who was another high-up who left, and you hear these people and what they went through, it just gives you a whole new perspective on things, man.
Fascinating. Usually I don't watch Leah Remini on TV unless Kevin James is right there by her side, right? But this one sounds like it might be worth checking out.
No, right?
First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Yeah.
They run a TV show together, Kevin. Come on, you get it.
He's a sabotager.
We got it.
He's a saboteur.
That's an even better word.
Or a sabotager. I got to give everybody a heads up. I want to give you a little heads up if you, like me, were saddened by the passing of John Glenn.
Oh, yeah.
Who passed away last week at the age of 95. One of the great American astronauts. Not like Buzz Aldrin. Not a bad one. A good astronaut.
Buzz Aldrin is also a great American.
So AMC Theaters, as a tribute to the late John Glenn, has decided to show The Right Stuff in theaters this week.
Oh, what a great movie.
In 95 locations. If you've never seen The Right Stuff, I saw it recently. This movie really holds up. It is a tremendous film about the birth of the space age, about how these badass test pilots were the guys who got tapped to enter into NASA's program when they were looking for guys to shoot giant firecrackers off into the sky when no one even knew if it was possible, if it was going to work. These guys were so badass. Just a bunch of balls.
Kevin, you've seen The Right Stuff,
right?
They flew
in and they blew up the Death Star.
No. Star Wars. This is The Right Stuff.
Kevin, I want to know if you've seen this movie.
Yes.
Good answer,
seriously.
Kevin.
If you haven't, you have to go see it in the theaters. You will love it so much. It's so great.
Yeah, it's the story of NASA's original seven Mercury astronauts, and Ed Harris plays Scott Glenn in the film, and it's a terrific performance. So it's being shown today and tomorrow.
Oh, I'm busy.
at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. in locations all over this great nation of ours, including here in Los Angeles. So look for an AMC theater near you and see if they're showing the right stuff. If you want to catch it on the big screen, because it's a great film, and I think you'll get a kick out of it. I think you'll enjoy it. Speaking of getting kicks out of things, more details about this Madonna-Michael Jackson relationship.
Please.
Which are a little strange. She sort of confessed on the Late Late Show with James Corden when they were doing their carpool karaoke that she had made out with Michael Jackson in the early 90s. But apparently, there was more to it than that. They actually entered into sort of a little relationship.
Really?
Yes.
I just can't picture him that way.
It was not long-lived. Okay. Don't get me wrong. They had a falling out for several reasons. This is going to surprise
What were their names?
You. No.
Oh.
One is that she flat out refused to visit his favorite place in the world, Disneyland. He wanted to take her to Disneyland on a date, and she was not interested.
That's odd that she would take a stand like that. I mean,
well, she, in the 90s, she just wanted to bone and blow,
right.
And
but
blow,
if you like,
blow and drink stuff.
But
and
if
party.
You like a guy, you think,
yeah, but
maybe you go where he wants to go.
If you're a grown up,
yeah,
and you're with Michael Jackson, maybe, I don't know. No. Maybe you don't want to go. And then the real thing, the budding romance ended when Madonna told an interviewer that she wanted to give Michael Jackson a new look without any buckles. Because at the time he wore those jackets that had about 4,000 buckles
That's
everywhere.
That's a deal breaker right there.
For Jackson it was. He got so upset that she was criticizing his style that she ended the relationship and never spoke to her again.
Wow.
Over buckles.
He did wear
Write
a lot of buckles.
For 2017. Weirdest reason you ever broke up with somebody. Buckles would have to be up there, I think. Buckles.
I put up with a lot of stuff, but don't you criticize my buckles.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Ted Nugent. Motor City Madman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Guy once crapped himself so he wouldn't have to go in the Army.
I mean, it's effective.
Got to do what you got to do, right? 68 years old today.
Right?
Yeah. Little cat scratch fever.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's crazy, too.
Oh,
right,
you think?
Straight yeah, crazy.
Remember his meltdown over taking dying kids fishing?
Yep. Right. He's the best.
That was pretty magical.
He's crazy.
I've taken more kids fishing, more terminally ill kids fishing than anybody you ever know.
When you sit down across from someone who has more families with dying little boys and girls who get a call to take them on their last fishing trip in life, call me when you meet someone who does that more than I do.
Okay.
Oh. All right. You know what? You're the dead kid fishing champ, Ted. Congratulations.
I mean, is that a big category?
No! You call me when you've met somebody who's taken more dying kids fishing than me.
So bizarre.
You sound like the freaking Grim Reaper.
That is weird.
Wendy Malick is 66 years old today. Morris Day is 59. Steve Buscemi, also 59 years old today. Jamie Foxx is 49. Tom DeLonge. Of Angels and Airways fame, of course. He was another band before that, too.
I don't think so.
I can't remember.
No. That's it. That's pretty much it.
41 years old. Amy Lee, singer for Evanescence, is 35 years old today. And that's it. There are no
Come
other,
on.
No other show
I know there's
days.
Another I'm happy one about you're
that. Right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Have we checked the doors? Are we safe? Can we go on with this conversation?
I don't know. We've had many run-ins with Scientology through the years, and we've always received emails that are a little scary.
And meetings have been requested with station management.
Yep.
Yeah,
and Kevin no longer gets invited to any parties at Jenna Elfman's house. That's also true.
He's off the Christmas card list.
She did yell at me, yeah.
Yeah.
Ralph, we had to kick that guy out.
We did have to kick that guy out.
We had to kick him out of the studio.
Yeah.
You were, if I remember correctly, Ralph, when we heard that this special was getting ready to debut on A&E, Tuesday night's Leah Remini Scientology in the Aftermath, you were interested. And then after you watched the first episode, it so far exceeded your expectations as to what you were going to see on the show, right?
Yeah, the phenomenon that is the Church of Scientology and the people that are involved with it has always been a subject of interest to me. And you think you know something when you follow it just sort of on a superficial level. And the deeper I dug, the more I would see representations of both sides and what people were saying. But when you start to hear the personal stories of people who have been involved and then got out of the church, it changes your reaction to what you think you know about the church. I think that's the most compelling part of this particular program. There have been other documentaries before. HBO did one, Going Clear.
Going Clear, right?
Right?
a lot of people have talked about this, but hearing the personal stories from these people and
some of them at the top of the Church of Scientology mm-hmm. before they
yes,
quit.
Yes, and having Leah herself, who was a very high profile Hollywood parishioner with Scientology, having her talk about her experience, it adds a whole nother dimension to it. I think that's very compelling, and it makes for great television.
We're going to have her on the phone in a minute. They're just now connecting her. The thing that has always been the biggest mystery for me, and maybe this will be answered in this show, is how they are able to divide and separate families, how they are able to convince someone to put other blood relatives on the other side of a line because of religion. I don't know how nobody could ever do that in your house, Ralph.
Well, if you watched the show, being last week, we learned when we were talking to Mike Rinder that one of the key elements of Scientology is they make the church the parent. Mm-hmm. Scientology becomes your provider, the person you're responsible to, the person who's responsible for you, and they don't put a lot of emphasis on interpersonal relationships and even family relationships.
Because this is just one of your lives. This isn't...
There's no real emphasis on the marriage. The kids are raised, you know, off to the side. You're busy working for the church, and so you don't develop the feeling that a lot of nuclear families feel when outside of the church.
Well, as we've been saying, we've been so looking forward to having Miss Remini on the phone. She's been an accomplished and talented actress for so long. Also the author of the number one best-selling New York Times book last year called Troublemakers, Surviving Hollywood and Scientology. And the new special series is called Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, Tuesday nights at A&E. Leah, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
We are happy to.
Who was just talking about the family stuff?
That was Ralph
Garman.
That's
me, Ralph, Leah.
You know what? Listen, you really hit, like, that's true. It's exactly what people need to understand, is that this is very much part of the teachings. And this is why I'm doing this project, because it's for them to turn around and attack people is very much part of their teachings. That is what you are taught from the very beginning of Scientology, of who your enemies are. Your enemies are anyone who speaks out publicly about the organization. And they have policy that mandates that they are destroyed through their fair game policy, which they claim is no longer in existence, but their actions are.
I think in your first episode, it was a woman whose husband was still in Scientology and daughter got out, and yes, she had to choose between the two of them as far as the church was concerned, and she chose her husband first, and then eventually changed her mind and said, no, I'm not going to turn my back on my daughter. And it's crazy how they make you choose like that.
Exactly. And then they say, well, it's the parishioner's choice. They don't want to be connected to somebody who's attacking their religious beliefs. It's very clever in the way that they're hiding behind freedom of religion. And if your religion calls and mandates for people to hurt people who speak out and destroy their family, but also even part of that, if a person in Scientology... we're talking about second, third generation now, right?
Yeah.
If you're raised into believing that anyone who speaks out against the organization is evil, you know, people like me are labeled suppressive people.
Which is the worst thing you could be, right?
Yeah, and you want here's some of the other words. Merchants of chaos.
Mm. Oh, I like that one.
Hell-bent on your destruction.
Wow.
But we literally wake up in the morning and go, I mean you harm, all the good work you're doing, I want you dead. I'm only happy when you are failing in life. So, of course, I never thought that person would be me.
Right.
Of course,
my
yeah.
Father.
The letter that you read that Mike Rinder's daughter had written to him was the most heartbreaking thing I've ever seen. And then you show video of her speaking out in a video against her own dad. That is a manipulation like I've never seen before.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell people this is in their actual doctrine. This is actually part of their teachings, that there is nothing off limits when it comes to someone attacking your church.
Now, Leah,
go ahead.
Is this how they reconcile... supposedly being the height of morality, and the Scientologists are supposed to be at the height of a spiritual being, at the height of morality. How do they reconcile the fact that they can be so devastating and cruel to other people outside of the church? Is it because they're evil incarnate? Is that the excuse?
That we are, meaning people like us?
Yes.
People outside the church, yes.
Yes, that anybody attacking it is it basically are the devil.
I see.
And so, yes, it justifies this behavior. But also in Mike's case, like Mike Rinder's case, his daughter was raised by the church. She's what's called a Sea Org member. She works for the church. And so she hardly saw her father or her mother. And the church pays her bills. The church feeds her. The church gives her her clothes. Mm-hmm. She's not allowed internet access. She's not allowed to have a cell phone. She's not allowed to be outside in the real world. She might go from the church to a bus to the church to where she lives, but she doesn't have real outside influences.
Leah, I have a question for you. I watched both episodes, and we've had run-ins with Scientology for a long time on this show. Mm-hmm. Are they as litigious as they used to be? Because we would get emails and letters and stuff from people saying you need to be careful and stop talking out against Scientology. Are they still that way today?
Well, I think what we saw with Going Clear with their ads that they took out against HBO, Alex Gibney and Lawrence Wright, it just didn't go anywhere because they know the truth. They would sue me so fast if what we were saying was a lie.
Well, that was part B, is A&E, which airs your show, they put up that thing, that
the
warning.
Disclaimer.
Oh, the disclaimer that the Church of Scientology does not support this. And if you'd like to see what the Church of Scientology really believes, you should go read these letters. It scares me how often they put that up.
Yeah, but I'm a producer on the show. I want that on the show.
You do? Okay.
It tells
because
you.
I want people to see what the church is saying. This is a place calling itself a church. I want you to see the hate websites that they put up systematically against anyone who's done a story about it. Now, Anderson Cooper's not a Scientologist. He did a story. That's mm-hmm. what he does. He's a journalist.
Why do you call it a church so much and not a cult?
I'm sorry?
Why do you call it a church so
I'm
much
sorry.
And not a cult?
Bad habit. but also, you're right. I shouldn't call. I'm still finding my way. You know what I mean? I'm so used to calling it that. It's always the Church of Scientology, right?
Mm, yeah.
Right. And I also, you know, God forbid I come off bigger.
Yeah.
The others use that against you. Yeah.
This is the voice of actress Leah Remini here on the Kevin Amin Show. We're talking about the A&E series Scientology and the Aftermath. You know, when you talk about the crimes that are committed by the church, do you think the government should be investigating them? Should there be prosecution in some of the things that they've done throughout the years, Leah?
Of course. I mean, I'm just what do they call me? A has-been actress, a decade past her prime.
Nice.
I can only do so much.
Yeah, I mean, but you're talking about rape, and you're talking about a lot of things.
That's why I'm saying, why aren't they being investigated by even local police if there are reports of those things happening? What's going on there?
I do not know. That's a great question.
But I think they're so insulated, and they cover up and protect themselves so well by people not willing to come forward in certain situations that sometimes it's hard to prove in these cases.
And also, this is an organization that's amassed $3 billion in assets.
Yeah.
Right.
And they do what's called safe pointing the opinion leaders around every Church of Scientology. They will go out and safe point the police departments. They hire, you know, these police officers to work at the church and speak at the church when they're not working, thousands and thousands of dollars. So they have cameras. The police department often goes to them to solve crimes because of the scope of their cameras and security. So they have safe pointed certain places.
Gotcha. All right, yeah. We're almost out of time. I'm so sad to say we need to continue this conversation another time, Leah. When you have the ability to come in, we'd love to be able to spend more time with you. But I do want to ask one other question. That's just because John Travolta was on the red carpet this week. Somebody asked him, "Hey, are you watching the show?" And he said, "Why would I? Scientology has been great for me." How is it that there are still people like John Travolta and Tom Cruise and others who are still getting so much out of and seem to be enjoying and not having these problems with the church?
And look, it's not that they're not having problems. If any one of those people that you mentioned left the church and spoke out against it, they too would receive this punishment.
But they say that they're getting great things out of it, that it's helped their career, it's helped their families,
sure.
It's helped their relationships.
Sure,
are they lying? Is that not true?
Who am I to say that they haven't? I mean, I'm not saying you didn't get – I mean, that's for you to say. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is you should be concerned. That's great that you're about yourself, and that's great that it's helped you, but you should also at the same time maybe take a look at what people are saying about the organization that you're helping.
Are they at all afraid of maybe some secrets coming out about them?
They truly believe that they are helping the planet.
Hmm. Wow, fascinating topic. The book is called Troublemaker, Surviving Hollywood and Scientology. The series is on A&E Tuesday nights at 10, and you can catch up with what you've missed so far on demand. The show is called Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath. We'd love to have you by anytime you have the chance. Leah, thanks so much for jumping on today.
Thank you. I'd love to come in, yes.
Thanks. Bye-bye. We appreciate it. Bye.
We were talking off the air yesterday about our plans for the holidays, upcoming Christmas holidays, and I mentioned that every year on December 25th, my wife and I have Chinese food and go to the movies. And Ali, you were so surprised to hear that because I guess you have people like that in your life too.
Oh yeah, but they're all Jewish.
Yeah, that's the odd part.
As is my wife.
Had
my wife
no is idea. Too. Well, and now it makes perfect sense.
That is her tradition. It has been, and it has become ours in all the years that we've been married. And it got us on the conversation of holiday traditions that you have, especially if they are traditions that are unique to your family. You're the only one who does this for the holidays.
We'll be honest. We're looking for weird.
We are looking for weird. Like, how could you summarize, Allie, you have a better memory than I do, the crazy Thanksgiving tradition, for instance, that the kids on This Is Us have, if you're watching that show. Because of something that happened one night when they were kids, when their car broke down, and they ended up staying in a seedy motel overnight, they have incorporated everything from that night into their Thanksgiving traditions that they still do every year as adults, right?
Exactly. They couldn't get the food. They couldn't get to grandma's. All this stuff happened. So the dad wound up going and getting hot dogs, just random hot dogs.
That's a terrible one to keep up.
That's part of their tradition. They have the hot dogs there on the table, and they're very thankful for that one holiday that they spent together and had to realize how grateful they had to be at that point for what they had.
So they're the only people in the world who celebrate Thanksgiving that way because it's
a horrible way to celebrate.
Unique to their family.
Right.
And we're going to take your calls on this, by the way, if you have unique family traditions. Weird. 1-800-520-1067 or weird. Yeah. I had a conversation with a guy yesterday. I was in an Uber yesterday with a young man from India who's been in America for a number of years now. I swear to God, this is completely true. He has a boxing ring that he built in his garage. When the relatives get together, and he's got a big family with cousins and parents, and even his sister is involved, they box each other on Thanksgiving and on Christmas. They have tournaments where they box each other.
Well, it makes sense because on Thanksgiving, a lot of people will go out and play flag football with the family.
Yeah. Yep.
So it does make sense. Yeah.
I just thought, what says Christmas? What says celebrating the birth of the baby Jesus like hitting your dad in the face?
Honestly, wouldn't you want to do that on Thanksgiving? Get it all out?
Oh, the K-Rock microphones were there.
Merry Christmas.
Oh.
And I asked him, I said, all right, hold on. Wait, we're not quite.
Juicy.
Wow, that's before or after Christmas dinner. I asked him.
I feel like the bell rang.
And happy holidays. So I asked him, I said, are you trying to hurt each other? And he's like, no, you know, I'm not trying to knock my brother's head off, for instance, but you try to win. I mean, it's competitive boxing, and that's their tradition. Is that strange? Is that weird enough for you, Kevin?
Yeah, that's pretty weird. But I love it.
Let's talk to Dylan real quick. Line one, please. He's in Topanga. He'll get us started. 1-800-520-1067. Your unique and or weird holiday traditions. Dylan, welcome to Kevin DeBean Show. What's going on?
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
For about 5 or 6 years when I was younger, we used to, the night before Christmas, we would go steal a Christmas tree from the Christmas tree lot.
That's what Jesus would want.
It's at least from the lot, not somebody else's house.
Yeah.
Why don't you just chop one down in the neighbor's yard? Why don't you just take it to the next level? How did that tradition get started? Were you poor one year and you stole a tree because it's the only way you could get one?
Or were you drunk
one
year?
You were wasted, Dylan.
I think it was more my uncle being like fighting against, you know, they would sell the Christmas trees for like $80 and they would just throw them away on Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, sticking it to the man then.
Yeah, I think the customer should be allowed to determine how much is charged by the businesses. Thanks for the call, Dill. Appreciate that. All right, that's the story to beat. He steals a Christmas tree every year. 1-800-520-1067. Your weird holiday traditions next on K-Rock. Minutes away from your tickets to see Metallica, a block party concert at Jimmy Kimmel Live tomorrow night. We'll tell you how you can win that coming up on K-Rock. Right now, though, we're talking about your weird, unique, unusual, one-of-a-kind holiday family traditions at 1-800-520-1067. I was telling you about a guy I spoke with yesterday. He and his family box on Christmas Day. That's what they do. They get together and just knock each other out.
So does all of England, by the way.
That's the next day, and that's Boxing Day.
Boxing Day, right?
Unrelated to boxing. All right, let's try Maurice and Azusa, please, up first. He's on line three to get us going in this segment on the Kevin Amin Show.
Hey, Maurice.
What do you do, guys?
You tell us.
So my family's a traditional Mexican family with way too many family members in it.
Okay.
And every time we get together, we play games from the old country that my uncles would play back in Mexico with no money and stuff, and it's called Hide the Belt. And the theme of the game is somebody hides a belt and gets to play hot and cold with everybody else who's playing. Whoever finds it gets to whip the hell out of anybody else in close proximity while we run to the safe zone.
I don't understand that at all.
So as soon as somebody finds it, it's just a mad scramble for a safe zone, or otherwise they get beat?
A lot of people get trampled, and usually it's the spectators who are getting in the way, and everybody else is running like hell from the guy with the belt.
Okay, well, happy holidays to you and yours, Maurice. Thank you.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
I'm not sure what Mr. Trump has to do about it. Let's go to Christine.
Mexican family.
She is in Los Angeles, up next on the Kevin Amin Show.
Hey, Christine.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
So every Easter, Christmas, and Thanksgiving, my family, we gamble.
All right.
We play a dice game. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the kids are allowed to gamble, too, and we all use real money.
Nice.
So wow.
Start them young.
I like it. Yeah, exactly.
Plus shots.
There's a three-year-old, a six-year-old, and an eight-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And all I know is that I went home broke this Thanksgiving, and the six-year-old walked off with $53.
What? So,
now, are you plotting your sweet revenge on Thanksgiving against that little kid? I mean, Christmas coming up?
You've never won.
Time. No, it's been years, and I've never won.
You're a terrible gambler.
Yes, I'm a terrible gambler. We do have one Easter tradition that I have won, though, which is to take, we have egg fights. We take hard-boiled eggs, and you go against another person, and you smash the eggs together, and only one will crack. But we make, like, six or seven dozen eggs, and we have a chart, and we have a whole tournament.
That's beautiful.
Tournament.
That's a really beautiful story.
Anyway.
I love that so much.
That's what we do.
All right. Happy holidays, Christine. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Jonathan Van Nuys, please. Line five up next.
All right, Jonathan. Hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. What's going on?
So on Christmas Day, I've been doing this for about 15 years. I have all of my Jewish friends come over, and we sit down and we watch basketball for 12 hours straight starting at 9 a.m. because it's the one day of year where there's basketball all day.
Yeah, there's an NBA triple header usually, right?
It's even more than that. It's usually about five games in a row.
I didn't even know that existed, 9 to 9. Wow.
Yeah, and the last game this year is the Laker game, and usually around halftime is when you realize the Lakers are not going to win,
right?
So I get obliterated every single year.
Well, that's a nice tradition, I guess. If you and your friends like basketball, I guess you can't beat it.
Everyone comes over, they bring their kids, we have lots of pizza, and we just hang out all day and watch basketball.
That sounds like fun. Thank you for the call, Jonathan. Appreciate that. Let's go to Monterey Park, and Mike is up next, line six. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
All right, so back when we were in high school, for about like 3 or 4 years, we were known as the Baby Jesus Bandits in Pico Rivera.
The Baby Jesus Bandits.
You would not steal baby Jesuses from the manger. You would not, Mike.
Yes, we did. We're going to hell.
Straight.
Yeah.
Have you started a band called the Baby Jesus Bandits?
No, we have to understand, when we were at that age, we were punk rock. You know, we used to dress like idiots and have patches and, you know, have mohawks and stink. And, you know, we were just a bunch of stupid kids. So one year we were passing by somebody's house and, you know, we were joking about that Sling Blade movie when he's like, you shouldn't have done that. He's just a boy.
Right.
we just happened to see a baby Jesus, and my friend grabbed it, and we were laughing. We're like, you shouldn't have done that. That's a boy.
This conversation just got weird.
Real dark and odd. I don't know what's
going on. Mike is our people.
It turned into a big old joke, and we started stealing them. They published a thing in the paper saying, you know, that, you know, nativity scenes were being robbed and Jesus was being stolen.
Is that right? And, you made the news?
Yeah. We made the local news and local paper, yeah.
We got his number, Pico Rivera cops, if you want to call in.
Hey, Mike, I can't support or endorse this. It's a terrible thing. You shouldn't have done it. But what did you do with the baby Jesus once you saw
him? Oh, I don't know if we want to know this.
You know, the funny part is we had nothing to do with them, so we had no idea. So we had a collection in my friend's garage.
Okay.
And then,
No.
Why would you even do that, Kevin?
Yes.
There's nothing sexy about this story.
How do you know?
Because we're talking about the babies and Jesus. That's how I know.
Oh, but this is where the story gets better.
Mike, I'm sorry. Your story has already peaked. Thank you for the call. All right, please stop playing that. And happy holidays to all the degenerates.
The last 50 years or so, on Christmas Eve, my family has had a huge marshmallow fight. Nobody knows when it's going to happen. My older cousin usually just starts it out of the blue. Marshmallows are flying everywhere. As an added bonus, somebody inevitably finds one or two hard as rocks as late as the next spring. Merry Christmas, everybody. People are weird.
Stop
their traditions are weird.
Doing dumb things, people.
No, right? Do dumb things.
Why?
Because it's fun.
Agree to disagree.
I'm sold on this one.
Guys,
marshmallow fight fun?
Sure.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right, bring some marshmallows tomorrow.
It says here we're doing some sort of countdown of the best Mr. Bad examples of the year coming up next. Was that cleared? Was that in the meeting? I'm unfamiliar with the
word. Yes and yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that came out from the 8th floor. That wasn't even our choice.
We really need to revisit my bad examples from 2016.
Boy, do we.
That's coming up. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Hey, this is a pretty cool thing. Metallica is doing a block party concert tomorrow night.
Yay!
With our old pal, Jimmy Kimmel. The Metallica block party will happen there. Jimmy Kimmel live tomorrow night. Listen, you couldn't buy tickets to this if you wanted to. You couldn't. You know why? Not for sale. The only way you can get them. Well, it's not the only way you can get them. Probably call Jimmy up. He could probably hook you
up.
Just
say the only way.
But the only way you can get them is through us here at the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'd like to give them away right now. But I want to give them to somebody who really knows something about Metallica. And if you're a Metallica fan, you'll remember this disaster, this nightmare. In 1989 at the Grammys, Metallica lost in the Best Hard Rock Metal Performance category. Lost!
To a joke.
To a joke.
Name, the most hilarious Grammy snub of all time, right?
I think so. Name the band that Metallica lost to in the Best Hard Rock Heavy Metal Performance category at the 1989 Grammys. If you know the answer, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through will get a pair of passes to see the Metallica Block Party concert tomorrow night at Jimmy Kimmel Live. While we're talking about awards like the Grammys, Golden Globe nominations were released yesterday, and not everybody's happy about them. For example, 50 Cent. 50 not happy.
I want 50 to be happy, I think.
You know, he's in the show Power over on Starz.
Yeah,
he's the executive producer on that show. It is a hit, Allie. It's the highest rated show on Starz. He's also the star, one of the stars of the show. He plays Kanan on the show. It's set in the New York City world of crime and misdemeanors. Anyway, he did not get nominated for his work in Power by the Golden Globes. And so now he's not too happy. I'm on the move again. Golden Globes can suck up D-word.
Sure.
I accept my series Power was not intended to be a signature show for the network, but it is the highest rated show. I know my audience very well. I'm done promoting this outside of contractual obligations. Season 4, Kanan must die. I got other S to do. Hashtag F and vodka. So apparently he wants off the show now. He wants to quit Power because he got snubbed by the Golden Globes. So now he's just going to take his vodka and go home.
So does he only do the show for awards?
I don't even
There's
understand.
No artistic reason for him to do it or financial reason?
This reaction, I don't understand.
what he's saying. I don't know the motivations. I'm just perplexed.
It's just weird.
Here's the thing. I'm sure he makes a ton of money off the show, being an executive producer and an actor on it.
Right.
And he's a star of a hit TV series. I mean, what more do some people need to say, hey, that's okay. I'm doing okay. Look, I get being disappointed. I'm sure he probably wanted to be nominated.
Sure. But sometimes there's a lot of people in that pool.
Things don't happen.
Right.
And he's still making that $50 million a year selling water, too, by the way.
Let's not forget that. So we'll see whether he returns for season four or whether Kanan must die, as he said in his statement. Speaking of weird intersections of the rap world and the rest of the world. Yeah, you've all seen it by now. Kanye West and President-elect Donald Trump met today at the Trump Tower to discuss a potential role in the administration.
Yes.
Says E! News. Trump met with Kanye West to discuss him becoming an ambassador of sorts. And Trump is interested in West getting involved in an entrepreneurial leadership role.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
Who's wasting whose time here?
It means that people are talking about Trump's pick for Secretary of State, that he's got ties with oil in Russia. And so now they... Look over here! It's Kanye West! Look, I just made a dove appear out of my vest. It's a magic show.
That's what Alan's been saying all day.
Oh, it has, yeah.
It's smoke and mirrors.
It's just a distraction, yeah.
He's a master of... Hey, look over there.
Well... I think Bannon is, and so Trump's doing it. But
they're playing the media.
It's somebody. What he does every single time there's a tweet storm of his. He's getting you to not pay attention to another big story of the day.
Right.
It's just what he does, and the media falls for it hook, line, and sinker every freaking time. There's no or being.
Let me give you my or.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
Right?
Well, he is, because it works every single time.
Or Kanye West is going to be the best Secretary of Education we've ever had. Or that.
Close. Kevin suggested that Kanye West is going to be America's first Secretary of Realness.
Oh,
right?
Create a cabinet position for him.
Yeah.
Because, baby, I'm awesome. Also. I'm also awesome. Y'all know.
Why would President-elect Donald Trump look to work with someone who's just out of a mental facility? Can he
literally
find someone in a mental facility to team up with? Couldn't he go right to the source and just start filling cabinet slots with Napoleon Bonaparte and Elvis and JFK? There must be just a ton of guys in a home somewhere who need a job. Why deal with a guy who's only sort of crazy?
It's a good question. He's not crazy enough.
Right. Where's Flip Wilson in the mix?
That's a great question. Thank you.
We're all asking. All right.
God, America has gotten strange, you guys.
You think?
I do.
That's a great take, Bean.
Hey, should we give away some Metallica tickets?
Oh, yeah, let's do that. I forgot I
mentioned that. Tom Taylor impersonating me. All that I think, after all that I cannot live, I cannot die.
What's your question again, Ralph?
My question was, in 1989 at the Grammys, Metallica lost in the category of Best Hard Rock Metal Performance. Not so much that they lost, but who they lost to that caused quite the controversy. Name that band. Let's go to who's up first. John from Playa del Rey. John?
Jethro Tull.
Jethro Mother Lovin' Tull. That's
legendary
right.
Metal act Jethro Tull.
Yeah, that's
it was
right.
A sad day.
It was a sad day, John. But not a sad day for you today, because you're going to go see Metallica at the Block Party tomorrow. Yay!
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, buddy. Also, congratulations to Mark and Nate and Robert and Desiree, who all had the correct answer of Jethro Tull.
It was a guy who dressed like he was in the Renaissance Fair, who stood on one leg and played the flute. That's the guy who won the heavy metal Grammy.
But snot is dripping down his nose. Come on, it's pretty metal. Guy's snot dripping down his nose.
Well, I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ted Nugent, 68 years old today.
And?
Wendy Malick is 66.
Plus?
Steve Buscemi is 59.
In addition to?
Jamie Foxx is 49.
An additional birthday would be?
Tom Long of Angels and Airwaves.
And the biggest star of all born today is?
Amy Lee from Evanescence is
35. You're getting closer. Another singer. She's also a lady person.
All right. I will give it to you. Famous singer today. Morris Day of Morris Day in the Time.
Yeah.
pretty sure that December 13th, somebody else will be there. You
Jesse, natural. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock, we are giving you a pair of one-day, one-park passes to the Disneyland Resort. They've got so much great stuff going on for the holidays, and we want to hook you up to the happiest place on earth. Christina Reifenstein from Orange just won her tickets. Your chance to win is coming up in minutes here on K-Rock.
Well, to 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
So much yelling off the air, well,
right?
My mic isn't on. That's what I know.
I assumed it didn't need to be with the yelling.
Oh,
hey! No, that was my bad. Sorry.
Hey,
that's on me.
That's the voice of our friend Ralph Garber with our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. Right?
Good, because that's what we're coming to you for.
J.J. Abrams, is he?
Yes, he's the best.
He is. He's everything.
It's beyond the best.
What is better than the best?
He may be the most influential artist of a generation.
I think you could really, really make a case for that. That's not an exaggeration. He's got his fingers in everything great.
Oh.
Easy.
All right.
Go on.
You know, I think of when I was coming up as a kid. Spielberg seemed that way to me. He seemed omnipresent. He seemed like he was everywhere. He was Jaws and Indiana Jones and Jurassic Park and television. He had amazing stories, and it just seemed like he was all things entertainment to me. But I think J.J. Abrams has...
And he made that last Raiders of the Ark.
Well, yeah.
That was pretty sucky.
But J.J. Abrams seems that to me now, to be a guy who's just pumping out visionary, great work across the board... In all platforms, in all medium.
Yeah, he has so many things going on. The Cloverfield movies, and remember, he was one of the guys behind Lost, you know, and then obviously
Alias,
rebooting Star Trek and Star Wars, by the way. Like,
he's
that's not enough.
On Westworld. He had Persons of Interest, of course, in CBS. Mm-hmm. And now he's got a new deal with HBO. They're picking up a sci-fi drama from director, creator, executive producer J.J. Abrams called...
The Pink... Fruit Mountain.
Yes, about the Pink Fruit Mountain, where everyone goes to live on this planet.
Pig's Feet Don't Lie?
And Pig's Feet Don't Lie will be the sequel.
7 Sundays in May.
No, it's called Glare. Glare. It'll be about the colonization, the first time humans colonize another planet.
And the sun gets in their eyes when they're trying to get home?
Well, actually, he has a lot of sun flares in his movies. Have you ever seen Star Trek? There's a lot of light going into the lens there, so maybe we'll see a lot.
I got to tell you, I know somebody who works in his company, works for him, and they could not rave more about what a cool guy he is and nice and generous.
Well, we've had him on the show early,
he's been
back
wonderful.
In the day.
I know,
he's
but it's
been so generous and kind.
I assume people put on their best face when they come in here to do media, but it's nice to hear that behind the scenes just...
Yeah.
He's just amazing.
Well, my buddy Kevin Smith knows him a bit.
Oh, okay.
And same.
Same thing?
Same thing. Wow. Just said could not be a nicer, sweeter guy.
That's great.
I remember when we were over in the UK doing Hollywood Babylon, J.J. was shooting Force Awakens at that point. And out of the blue, just reached out to Kevin and said, I heard you're over here, and I know what a big fan you are. Why don't you come to the soundstage and take a look at the sets? Out of the blue, wasn't completely unprovoked. Just thought of Kevin, just thought he would enjoy doing it, and just invited him to go see. Can I get a woo-woo? And then I said, can I go? And everyone said, no.
I ran into him at Jimmy Kimmel's wedding as well, and I went up to say hi, and I said, hey, how's it going? And he goes, I have to leave immediately after the wedding to write Star Wars. And I said, all right, I'm out.
Same.
I just turned and walked away. Yeah. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, Star Wars, by the way, we got to talk about this.
Rogue One?
Yeah.
You already saw it?
I saw it yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to set aside some time.
Yes.
Yeah. Whew, man, is it good?
Oh,
it's so good.
That's so good to hear.
It may be my favorite Star Wars-related project outside of the original three films.
Really?
Yeah. It's that perfect. It goes so well, especially as a lead-in, lead-up to. This is not a spoiler to New Hope, the first film, chronologically. But great. Writing, directing, acting all across the board, the whole thing.
I feel like a lot of people assume that, like Marvel, when they put out a superhero movie, they're all going to be great just because the last ones were great or whatever. Each one stands on its own, and they have to work just as hard. And they could totally failed.
And Star Wars had a shaky start, you may remember, when Lucas put out his next three, and everyone thought, oh, is this the end of the franchise? But boy, it's coming back in a big way. So
that's great.
We'll talk more about that later in the week.
Allie, what'd you think about it?
Yeah, because I know you worked so hard to finally get those screening tickets.
I finally secured.
You berated the poor people at Disney until they finally let you into a screening.
Oh, you got the tickets?
Yes, they gave me four o'clock screeners yesterday afternoon.
Props for that.
She hassled and berated them to the point where they finally buckled and gave her tickets.
That's really great.
Yeah, so.
That's great. What'd you think of that?
I was looking for you when I came out of the screening.
Yeah, I know.
The good screening, the 1 o'clock screening. You were the next one. Or the loser screening, as they were calling it. So I came out, and I was looking at the crowd of people waiting to go in the theater. I said, I don't see that telltale blonde hair. Where is that young lady? How was it?
I was diagnosed with pneumonia on Sunday, and I haven't been feeling great. And
but
I
you still went because it's Star Wars, right? Here's the thing.
So you went.
I've been out of control coughing. I didn't want to be that person. If someone was sitting next to me hacking up a lung, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I agree.
So I didn't go. I have tickets to Thursday.
That was thoughtful.
It was thoughtful. Thank you. I'm sad, but I will see it Thursday night. But thank you to the lovely people at Disney that did.
That you harassed and finally got tickets that you didn't use.
Totally.
And cajoled and threatened.
I
mean, you wasted their time, really.
Other than that, I'm sure everything's great.
If you're afraid of coughing, you should put on like a CPAP machine or something. You could be sitting there going.
Somebody did mention.
Would have been
perfect.
Yeah. Should have just worn like a stormtrooper mask. Yeah. Would have been good.
And in music news, Faith No More. Remember them?
Yeah, I do.
Their frontman, Mike Patton, has put together what he's calling a heavy metal supergroup. It's called Dead Cross, and it features Slayer drummer Dave Lombardo, along with guitarist Michael Crane and bassist Justin Pearson from San Diego hardcore band Retox. So you'd be able to see Mike Patton fronting a new band in 2017.
All right.
Still no new Tool album planned, but Maynard is taking one of his other bands, A Perfect Circle, out on the road next year. Pitchfork.com reports that the group's first concert in North America in more than 5 years are going to be hitting the stage next year. So if you want to see them, they'll be at the Hollywood Bowl in May of next year if you want to go see A Perfect Circle.
That sounds great.
Anyone? Anyone?
He's going to take some time away from his wine.
Does he whine a lot?
Yeah. No, no,
oh,
I think...
So hard for me. I have pneumonia. I can't go to the movies.
That was me.
What?
Yeah, that was me. Just like 20 seconds. Well, that's fine.
Chip, it's going to drive you crazy, but you'll know. What's the name of the very popular Perfect Circle song we played on K-Rock for all those years?
There's a couple. Judith, Outsider. I think Judith was the big one.
Okay. Pig's Feet Don't Lie.
Oh, no, maybe it was Pig's Feet Don't Lie. Maybe that's what it is.
Three Libras.
That might be it, too. Yeah. They're a good band.
I mean, they're no Mr. Bungle.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. Another band?
Yeah. What?
Right back up there near Mr. Bunghole. I remember the LBJ was talking about that on tapes. Remember? It was
you love that
bands.
Band.
Very different.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Ted Nugent is 68 years old today. He's probably going to celebrate by taking some sick kids out on the river.
Crazy!
Do a little fishing.
He ordinarily would do that this time of year, but I think he's got a meeting at Trump Tower later today.
Oh, yeah, he'll be in the lobby. So, get the cameras ready, boys.
I'm not sure what job he's going to have in the new administration, but I'm not surprised by anything at this point.
Yeah,
Secretary of Fishing, obviously.
Obviously. Wendy Malick, 66 years old. Singer Morris Day of Morris Day and the Time turns 59 today. Also turning 59 is Steve Buscemi. Jamie Foxx is 49. Tom DeLonge from Angels and Airwaves is 41. Amy Lee from Evanescence. By the way, I've been getting a lot of people saying no bell for Amy Lee. I think she's pretty hot. Thank you, Allie. Oh, Allie found
Allie
her own
has
bell.
Her own bell. All right.
That? Being left in here, so
it's actually my bell. We have a bootleg bell.
Yeah.
Guys, Evanescence, though, that's not a deal breaker?
No, she's still hot.
That doesn't make her not hot.
Right.
Okay, all right. Just means she makes bad choices with her life and her music.
Man, wow, coming up pretty hard on Evanescence.
It's just a downer.
And
I'm sorry, right. I didn't catch that, Ralph. It sounded like there was
finally,
one more
the
birthday.
Final showbiz beat.
You didn't finish. I didn't hear what. I'm sorry.
Pop star Taylor Swift is the latest in a long line of celebrities
peddling death.
Well, I don't know that that's the takeaway.
I think that's true.
Happy 27th, Taylor. We love you.
27.
We don't love her. You're the
fingers
best.
Fingers crossed.
Right?
This, is, this can be sometimes the magic
don't
number.
You dare.
Come on.
Ralph.
Come on. Poor Morrison. Come on, Joplin. Come on.
Why not?
Awful.
Come on, Hendrix.
Come
right.
on.
We're not going to be happy that it happens, Bean, but we
but
just...
But look, sometimes...
Sometimes it happens.
The world spins.
Right.
Right?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do when the world spins?
Right?
That is hurtful.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's Wednesday, so that means we have the Wheelo Bad Animal voices.
Oh!
We have Jimmy Kimmel in studio. Completely unrelated, Santa Carl stops by.
Oh, if they don't run into each other, they don't get along. Those
don't
they?
No.
In the 8 o'clock hour, Alec Martinez from the LA Kings on the program tomorrow. And we've been doing a lot of top tens where we make fun of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow we're going to do the top 10 worst callers.
We get to make fun of the listeners?
Yes.
Oh, that should help ratings.
Am I on the air?
We are turning the spotlight on them. And that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.